Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. Woo! Get it on. Got to get it on.
Yeah,
no choice. But to get it on. What's happening, T-Bone?
Not much. What's happening, Adam Carolla?
Doing well. Bald Brian?
Hello!
You sound very happy this week.
It's called overcompensation, baby. Now, where were we? That's right. Today's show, Joel McHale coming in this morning. Dreamboat Joel McHale. Love that guy. Looking forward to that.
I did meth and trafficked hookers in Thailand.
Talk a little sports with ESPN's Chris Fowler. Also, are you smarter than a Raiders fan? Last year in rage, I'll take all my top five from last year and put them into one vitriolic rant. And here's one. T and I are going to give out some relationship advice. You know, it's been on this radio here for 2 years doing morning radio, and it's been 2 years of, hey man, what happened to Loveline? And now I'm starting to think, what happened? The hell? Why don't I give out a little love advice? I did it for 10 years for the love of Christ. T,
why not?
You're very well qualified.
Thank you.
I don't know why.
I don't either.
Well, you've loved and you've lost.
Mostly lost.
You're an intelligent person.
Some would say.
You've looked within.
That's for sure.
You've done a lot of therapy.
Yeah.
Done a lot of sort of introspection. You've really taken inventory way more than once. And I feel like between the two of us, we could cover somebody.
Yes. I mean, I do bring a female perspective.
Right.
Be useful. Mm-hmm. I've made every mistake you can make.
Right. Let's hope our listeners don't, or we can prevent it. So we'll get into that in a couple of few. But speaking of males and females, somebody got me a gift certificate for a massage over the Christmas break or whenever, that just Christmas present. So I decided to go out and hammer it and get myself a massage. It's a nice thing, by the way. Everyone should do it once in a while. And we talk about this all the time. You're poor, but you don't have to act poor. You're not so poor that once a year you can't go out and pay somebody $90 and get a massage.
And are you kidding me? We're in L.A., and if you happen to be here, this is the home of the $45 Thai massage, and they're very good.
Right. The whole part about being poor, I never, you have to stop acting poor. I know I sound like a broken record. Now, that doesn't mean spend money you don't have, but I'll tell you the massage story. I'll tell you another quick Christmas story. My Aunt Pat. Now, as I've said, I defy anyone to find anyone cheaper than anyone in my family. I have a super cheap family. My mom is cheap meets downtrodden meets scared. My stepdad is just crazy nutty, paranoid cheap. My grandmother is like old school, lived through the Depression cheap. And my dad is out of it cheap. They cover the cheap spectrum.
Yeah, that's a lot of flavors of cheap.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, well, this guy has buku bucks, but he's one of those old school guys that thinks everyone has to earn it or something. No, this is poor meets cheap, which is a horrible intersection. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When your broken down van hits that guy pushing a shopping cart at the intersection of poor and cheap, that's a horrible place to have an accident. But that's where my family set up shop. Now, I have no other family. But that I just have my very immediate family, but I do have Vince and Pat, and I dare say Pat may be cheaper than anybody I know.
That's saying something.
She is the one who every year for my birthday would get me a card, and in that card had a dime in it for every year I'd spent on this planet. And again, you know, it starts to add up. Doesn't sound like much when you're three. That's 30 cents. But when you're seven, well, that's 70 cents.
Sure.
And by the way, that's 70 cents. We're talking about the mid-70s here, people. I mean, that was like, that'd be like someone today giving you a gallon of gas.
Yeah.
You know, for your birthday.
Yeah.
Or milk or a loaf of bread. I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
70 cents doesn't sound like much, you know, 1973. But by today's standards, it's like $2.40 for your birthday. So it's awesome. I mean, you know, they didn't have much, but she was a very generous woman. And I ran into her. Now, the thing that's funny about Pat is not only cheap, but she is prideful about it. She beams. I ran into her. I didn't run into her. I saw her at Christmas time over at my sister's house. And she said, "Hey, Ed." She calls me Ed. She said, "Ed, I was going through my ledger the other day, and there it was. I found that. I found where I gave you. I found 19. She said, 1968.
Keeps a ledger.
Yeah.
Keeps a ledger. She likes to go through the old ledger every once in a while. I mean, it's a ledger. It's a notebook or whatever. And there it was, month of May, I assume, because my birthday's in May. May 27th, 1968. Adam's fourth birthday, 46. I said, "Pat, why do you write that stuff down?" "Ad, the reason I write it down is so if I come up short at the end of the month, I can look back and find out where ways to tighten my belt." I said, "Pat, I have a foolproof method for you not running out of money at the end of the month. You make more money. You make money. You don't count the change that's between the sofa pillows or figure out how many toothpicks you use this year or cotton swabs or if you're using too much toothpaste. You get a raise. That's how you do it." And she said, "Ad, not everybody." You know, see, this is the problem with me. I'm in show business.
Right.
"Oh, I'm sorry. Not everyone has a car sent for them so they can have a bowel movement and a pewter toilet, Your Highness. I'm not in show. I know. You're not in show business. There's plenty of people who aren't in show business. This is America, everybody. You get to make money here."
Sure. Now, when Pat sits down with her ledger, I'm sure she has two sides. She has the money she spends and the money she earns.
Right.
What does Pat do?
Pat worked for, like, the Santa Monica School Board for, I don't know, 370 years,
right.
something between 300 and 400 years.
Sure.
She worked there.
Lifer.
And she was a lifer. And again, look, it's one thing to be on a budget and write things down. I never did it. When I was poor, I knew I was poor. I knew how much money I had. None. And it didn't make a difference where the phone bill was $28 or $34 on any given month. I knew I had to cover it, and I knew it was because I was talking on the phone. But all right, write stuff down, if you will. But the 40-cent gift to the nephew, is there any possible? First off, it could only happen once a year.
Right.
At the most, right? I mean, I could only be born once, right? I mean, it's only in May are you giving this 40 cents. And then what happens if you come up short in the month of May? I mean, God forbid Pat come up 35 cents short in the month of May. I'm going to get screwed next year.
Let me ask you, do you think she was secretly hoping that God would take you before your 20th birthday? That's $2.
No. No, we cut off the change shenanigans on the probably about the 15th birthday. But don't worry, I got the decorative popcorn tin for my graduation high school.
So that's what that was used for.
Yes. Later defecated into it. Message sent. Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Hang on a second, Mike. We're not giving out love advice just yet. That'll be the next break in about 5 minutes. You cool?
Awesome.
But hang tight, buddy. You'll be first up. You're on deck. All right. So that's a little window into the cheapness that is my family. And for me, like, once in a while, I'll just be driving home at night and it'll be rainy and I'll think, God damn, was my mom cheap? And then I'll think, God damn, was my dad cheap? And then I'll think, holy F, was my grandmother cheap? And then I think, wait a minute, my stepdad was super cheap. And then I think about Vince and Pat, and I go, oh, like, it was like somebody was punishing me with cheapness. It was like someone beat me with an empty piggy bank. That was my entire youth, just being clubbed over the head with an empty piggy bank and whipped with an empty money belt by a guy with a green visor.
What happened with this massage?
Oh. So I decide to get my massage. Someone gets me a gift certificate. And it's the kind of thing I do probably once a year, maybe twice a year. I should do it.
Weekly.
I should. I should just go get a massage once a week.
Have
every Friday after. Ooh. But I don't. I never. I'm weird about it. I think it's weird. Like, it's weird to me to pay somebody money to do something to me. It feels weird. I don't mind paying them to rake leaves or dig a ditch. I don't like paying them to, like, do things for me. It's weird personally. But anyway, I get the gift certificate. I go and hammer that thing. And you make the appointment. You go, I want the, they go, what kind of massage you want? Deep tissue? Whatever. You do it on the phone. I go, no, just the regular. The relaxation? Right. Regular. No one wants to call anything regular.
Yeah, it's
Swedish. You want the grande, you want the vente,
right.
You want the, just the regular, the massage. Oh, the deep relaxation massage. Yes, that one. Would you prefer a male or female? Doesn't matter. Now, I don't care, but also I don't want to tell them I care because it makes me sound uptight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, no dudes. Yeah. No dudes. Makes you seem weird and uptight, especially here in L.A. See, there's certain things you care about and you get to talk about, and then there's certain things you care about, but you don't get to talk about it. You see, you have to say you don't care. You know, if they go, would you care if would you care if the fireman who came into your house was a male or a female? It wouldn't make no difference to me. I'd probably want a dude. But I would have to say I don't care. But in this case, I really didn't care, male or female. There's pros and cons for both.
Sure.
Now, the pro for the guy is the stronger hands. The con is, every once in a while, you get naked, you get in a towel, you lie on your belly, you're going to get wood. End of discussion. And you roll over. Now it's weird. Because you had a guy working on you for 45 minutes, and it's time to flip over. And it seems a little weird. Now, the female's fine. What you're really looking for is a female with a kooky nationality that you don't know.
That's what you want. Some sort of Slavic.
Something thick, something Asian, something where you can't figure out what they are. They don't know anyone you know. There's a zit on your back. They don't have anyone to talk to. They're not going to go, hey, you know the guy from the Man Show came in here. They don't know who you are. They don't care who you are. They don't talk to any of your friends. They barely speak the language. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That's what you want. But I wanted, so I told the guy on the phone, I said, look, whatever you want, male or female, because I'm not uptight. So then I went in. And I went for my appointment, which was 8:00. I went to the desk and it said, oh, Mr. Carolla. So you, let's see here. You requested a relaxation massage and a female. And I said, no, I didn't request a female. And she said, well, it says you requested a female. And then I did that thing where I overcompensated because I didn't want her to think I was uptight about dudes. And I'm like, I like dudes. I mean, I'm not gay, but I'm cool. You know, I'm not, a guy could touch me. It feels good.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I'm fine. I did a weird thing where I like went one or two more laps where I shouldn't have been that animated. I was like, I'm happy with the chick, but I definitely told the person on the phone, male or female. You know, I have a lot of gay friends. I just gave a guy a reach around in the parking lot.
And it was my pleasure.
Do you have some Purell? My pleasure. Straight as the day is long. All right, let's see. Hold on. Martin from Irvine. Martin?
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys?
Happy
to hear.
What's happening?
Hey, with the loss of Danny, mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Bald Brian. Mm-hmm. I know he's
Yes.
How can we get him more involved? Even like his little comment today, just with the ledger, he just adds something. I love it. Let's get him more and get him paid.
I agree, except for the pay part, Martin.
Okay. Thanks, Dad.
People...
see? Just like that.
I've read the unofficial Adam Carolla message board. Our message board at adamcarolla.com doesn't seem to be...
it was shut down, and there are rumors going around,
it
Brian.
It was shut down a few weeks ago, I imagine.
Silver scraping it off his shoe right now.
Is it not up and running?
It's all but gone. I don't think there's any plans to bring it back. As far as I know, I don't know any official information.
Brian,
but,
have you heard this rumor? I heard it was taken down, and this is just a rumor, because an executive's home address was posted. But it seems to me they could just remove that.
That is a very easy thing to remove and even ban the person who did that, if it's true,
yes.
Which I don't even know if it is.
Well, what would be the reason why we wouldn't have a message board anymore?
You'd have to ask the real Jack Silver that.
But is there a real Jack Silver, and would he give me a... Let's just put it this way. Do you think the real Jack Silver would give me a real answer?
It's bad for business. Giving you a real answer is bad for business.
Having a bunch of eyeballs go to your website is bad for business?
Probably better for us that we have an unofficial one anyway.
All right.
See what I'm saying?
All right. Well, listen. Look, I don't want to be subversive or not... toe the company line, but hey, F you, CBS. If you're not going to let me have or re-put put a message board up on my website. I don't know what reasons you have. I'm guessing they're not great ones. But either way, you go to Adam Carolla, the unofficial website. Just, I think you just Google in unofficial Adam Carolla. It'll come up. It's getting quite popular. And let whoever started that reap the rewards of whatever.
You know,
whatever
it's bizarre,
comes your way, yes.
Because does it make you miss the days when our website was populated by our own employee, Death Dog?
Ah, Death Dog, yes.
Who would post negative things about how we all should be fired.
I guess that is the one upside. The one upside to us not having a message board anymore is the guy we pay to keep the message board up and running can't write horrible vitriolic things about this show on that message board. So I think, as a matter of fact, we should thank Jack Silver for that. And Death Dog, if you're listening.
Oh, sweet irony.
Yeah, that's another story I've never gotten a clear answer on, why you don't fire the guy who's writing horrible things about your show on your website when he's running your website. But again, the whole reason I don't talk to Jack Silver about it.
You're going to get a in the explanation, you're going to get a lot of playa haters and a lot of terms that don't make a lot of sense.
I mean, whatever you say about the show, good or bad, I like a message board because I like to check it. Because it's like dipping your toe in the jacuzzi to feel how the water is. We do a bit, and then people go on the message board. And I know they don't speak for every human being who listens to the show, but it's a sampling of people who listen to the show. And they go, I like Joel McHale, or I hate Deaf Frat Guy, or I like Music Mondays, or I hate Music Mondays, or I think, as I've read on the unofficial Adam Carolla website many times, more Bald Brian. And I read it and I go, oh, okay, well, I see this group of people is asking of this from the show. And that's all we're trying to do, people. All we want to do is satisfy you. When I say you, I'm talking about you, the listener. Now, I don't want to do a Hobo Kelly type shout out and yell everyone's birthday out and put on my big sunglasses and say, I see Brad is having a birthday and Timmy's having a birthday and Susie's having a birthday. But overall, if we're doing a bit and I go on the message board and it's overwhelming, we hate this bit. Well, that'll factor in to whether we do it again or not. Why wouldn't it? It's a suggestion box. You know how businesses have a suggestion box? And they put that little thing on the front counter, and you have a thing, and it's overwhelming. Get rid of this on the menu.
I think even more so, it's a community, and they befriend each other. It's a nice place to go for people who are fans of yours to commune.
Right. Okay. Well, we don't have one at AdamCarolla.com, so I suggest you don't go to AdamCarolla.com. I suggest you go to the unofficial Adam Carolla message board. Hey, Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever you said, I'm going to do it.
More Bald Brian.
More Bald Brian. Well, you just got More Bald Brian right there, right?
More Bald Brian, less USC fight song.
Oh,
now we're in trouble.
You know, you stroke him with one hand and you smack him with the other.
How dare you?
All right. We'll take ourselves a break, but one of the things I was thinking about as I spoke about 15 minutes ago is love advice. I haven't given any of it out on this show. Now, I don't want to talk about herpes and cankers and shankers and AIDS and all that good stuff, but I do want to help you in the relationship department. It's always something I've been good at, and then I got paid to do it for 11 years next to Dr. Drew. T has a gift for it as well.
Yeah, like a veteran who's been through many
battle
wars.
Battle-hardened.
Yeah, scarred.
Shell shock. Gulf War syndrome.
What was that? What was that? I heard shells.
866-901-ADAM. Give us a call. Whatever the state. Single, married, newly married, thinking about
looking.
An engagement, looking. We'll tell you what to do. 866-901-ADAM. Next.
Happy New Year from the Adam Carolla Show. Live from the corner office, it's program director Jack Silver.
Big ups, peeps! Today, we got ESPN college football analyst Chris Fowler. From He's the Soup, Joel McHale. A new round of Are You Smarter Than a Raiders Fan? The Ace Man will roll out 2007's best rants and last year in rage. And T and the Ace Man give out some relationship advice. Oh, speaking of which, I got this friend who caught his girlfriend in bed with another dude. Anyway, what I want to know is, how can the Jack Man turn that into a club manwich? Let me know so I can call him on his phone. My friend, not me.
Thank you, Jack. Phone number is 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. Yeah, why run from my past is what I was thinking. Everyone loves the old Loveline days.
Who doesn't love talking about relationships?
And who doesn't love talking about it?
So I've had anal sex and I passed out a couple times.
That's Dr. Bruce. All right. Thanks, so, T, you'll be my Dr. Drew this morning.
And minus again, all the medical training. And
although, I'll tell
expertise.
You, sitting next to the guy for 10 years, I've picked up a thing or two. 866-901-ADAM. Let's, who did I say would be up first? Mike?
Yeah.
Mike?
Hi, big fan, huge fan.
Thanks, Mike. 22 years of age.
23.
23, been on hold that long. What's up?
Well, I've been in love with this girl. I've known her since I'm 5 years old. Now we both passed university. We both got our bachelor's. We're both working. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering whether we're mature enough to get married. In our culture, like Muslim culture, you don't really date your friends and then you get engaged or there's no real middle ground. So I don't know if I'm ready to take the plunge or not.
Yeah, see, I'm a white atheist. What we like to do is screw for like 30 years. And then when we find out we have cancer, agree to be engaged. That's kind of our plan.
Where did you grow up? You said you passed university. I sent some Canadian or something.
No, Berkeley. I went. I'm from Southern California. I was born and raised in.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you a virgin, Mike?
Yeah.
You are, and imagine now. I don't know too much about your culture, but I always hear about the 72 virgins.
I take it you're a virgin.
If you kill yourself, you blow yourself up, and you go and see the 72 virgins, and you're a virgin too, what happens? That's going to be a cluster F right there.
No.
It's like 73 people all standing around going, I don't know what to do. What's, let me, honey, is your ear clean?
Is that right?
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Uh-huh.
So, are you a virgin?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know what? And one of the things I learned from doing Loveline is you can hear what people sound like. You can hear what racists sound like. You can hear, you know, it's like you can tell if you're talking to an older person or an African American or a heavier set person. You can hear virgins. Mike sounds.
He has a certain sweetness to his voice.
Like a virgin, a certain naivete in his genitalia. And you two, have you kissed? Have you had certain physical relations? No?
No.
No,
you
but
haven't kissed?
No.
But it's agreed that she's the one for you? I mean, if you said...
No, we're just really good friends, and we kind of flirt, and we talk... We all joke about sex, and we all tell sex jokes. We're normal.
Not interested.
Yeah. And if you said to her tomorrow, if you said, will you marry me, what do you think she would say?
What? No, what would she say? She'd probably just...
What?
I have no idea. It's not exactly sure.
Mm-hmm. But here's what I'm trying to ascertain here. Are you delusional in any way, shape, or form?
That she feels the same way?
Yes. If I spoke to her, would she be like, oh, Mike? Oh, no. Oh, no, no. He's just a nice guy. No, he's a friend. Yeah, but there's none of that.
Yeah, maybe 50% delusional. Maybe there's a coin toss that maybe she's totally likes me or not.
All right, a coin that has 9 sides and only one of them is in love with Mike. Hey, Mike.
Uh-huh.
This could be a waste of time for you, and here's what I'd like you to do before you waste any more of your precious time.
Uh-huh.
You need to find out what's going on with her. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to do it or what to do, and you have your own culture and it has its own set of rules. But you should definitely find out if she's interested in you as a friend or possibly potentially more than a friend. And you can't be scared of that answer. See, this is the problem a lot of people have. They don't ask questions where they suspect they're not going to get the answer that they want to hear. So they know. Most people know in the back of their mind. Like if you knew somebody was really interested in you or you really knew you were going to get a raise or you really knew fill in the blank. Like, it's like when you're in a class and you know you're doing pretty well, you don't mind going up and talking to the teacher and go, listen, can I talk to you after class? I can see what my GPA is. I can see what's going on here, how my test scores have been going. When you know you're doing horribly, you don't want to talk to the teacher about it. And that's what people have with relationships. There's a part in the back of Mike's mind that knows the answer might not be a good one if he talks to her about it. On the other hand, he may waste another 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, this is just information. You might as well gather the information before you move ahead.
So, Mike's smart. Mike's young. Mike's got a degree from university.
Wow.
And
past university.
Right. So, he needs to find out. You don't have to corner her. You don't have to get weird on her. You just have to find out whether she has those feelings. It happens all the time. And if she doesn't, listen to her. Do not try to talk her out of it. Do not try to convince her otherwise, because those are feelings. That's what attraction is. You know how Angie doesn't like, I was going to say some foods, but
most
96%
foods.
Yeah. Of the things that pass her lips.
Drunk. I'm drunk.
And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at these beautiful plump Rainier cherries and I'm saying, Angie, how can you not like these? And she says, I just don't. And I say, but everyone in the building loves them. She goes, I don't. And I go, but they're so good. And she goes, I don't like them. There's nothing I can do. I can't get her flowers and cherries and get her to eat the cherries. She doesn't like them.
It's sad, but you have to accept it. Because right. It's exactly like Angie and the cherries. It's just chemistry.
Mm-hmm. That is a great children's book, a great porn title, a great young group, like all girls group, Angie and the Cherries taking the stage.
It's pretty good.
Opening for Miley Cyrus. Josh?
Yeah.
What's up, my brother?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Good.
Good. Basically, I'm 20 years old, and I'm a virgin, mm-hmm. and so is my girlfriend, and mm-hmm. she's really, really, really hot, but she wants to stay a virgin until she gets married, mm-hmm. and I just got a good job, and now she wants to get married and all that, and I kind of want to do it, but one of the incentives is kind of having sex, too, so...
Yeah.
I don't know if I have to do that or kind of play the field for a while because I haven't done that. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm. 20 these days, young to be getting married, especially out here in Southern California.
Very. Yeah. And yet old to be a virgin.
Old to be a virgin. Ancient for virgin. I believe the average age is 11 and a half now out here in Los Angeles. Yeah. A lot of ethnicity screwing with that number. But the point is, Josh, 20, too young to be getting married. And when I say Southern California, look, if you were growing up in Iowa and you're working at the Hormel plant up the road and your wife worked there and you knew her since the seventh grade, that's 20, but you may as well be 40, right?
Yeah.
This is Southern California 20. Now, you're into her and she wants to wait. I would just wait. I don't know. Do you have any, there's these things called roofies. Do you have those, Josh?
I might be able to pick up a few.
I don't know. Look, hold on a second. He's got a bad line, but T.
Yeah.
Let's work this out.
Yeah, I wanted to know first, can we find out from Josh if she's holding out for religious reasons or...
That's what it seems to be.
I
Josh?
Guess.
Yeah, she says she's holding out for religious reasons, and she said she only wants to go making out and as far as that, but slowly I've gotten her to go a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So. See, here's what I would do. I would try to reach some sort of compromise. Here's a promise ring. Now, how about some oral? Do you
that
know what I mean?
Fair. Yeah.
I should go into the greeting card business. I really should. No, here's what I'm saying. He's 20, she's 20, religious. Now what you can't do is you can't ply her with booze and force yourself on her. She'll resent you.
Yeah.
She'll look at, you'll be the one who stole her virginity. On the other hand, you shouldn't be getting married before you want to get married just so you can get laid. On the other hand, you shouldn't break up with someone who may be your soulmate because you have this little problem with your calendar.
This is confounding.
It is in a weird way. Here's what I would say. I would say don't get married. I would say try to inch along physically. Because the thing about moving along physically, it's like stealing land from Indians. You don't give any of it back. You know what I mean? You do that
thing
where you go, hey, man, all we want is parts of Texas and Arizona. Come on now. And they go, all right, but no California. And we go, oh, no. Take a little Arizona, take a little Texas. The next thing you know, we go over the border a little bit. New wagon train on wrong side. Oh! Oh, sorry, Pocahontas. Don't get all uptight. We'll just stay here for the night. Next thing you know, we're building a fort in a town. We won't encroach any further.
Oh, no.
We're not going anywhere. No, we're good here. We're good.
Are you cold? Here's a blanket.
Here's a blanket. A little smallpox. A couple of smallpox, not large ones.
Do you like alcohol at all?
Yeah, a little firewire.
It's delicious.
There you go. Drop your beads there. Go cheese. Yeah.
Do you need this buffalo?
Nah, you know what? You guys eat too much of it. We just like the jerky part. Where's the jerky part of buffalo? Look, the point is we're just going to hang out here. We're not going any further. And then the next thing you know, we go a little further and you go a little further. You never give the, you never move back.
No.
That's how it works. Once you get to third base sexually with somebody, it's not, there's no more second base.
Well, think of the metaphor. You don't go back. When you're in baseball, you don't go back to second from third. You just slide into home.
No. And unless the guy behind you thinks the ball, you know, is going through, it got hit into the power alley and it got caught and they're trying to double you up at second, and then your roommate Don forgets the condoms.
Where's the sports?
I think your advice is good. I did not believe in premarital sex, and I dated a guy for 9 months, and I told him that all along. He was my first serious boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't believe in it, but then, you know, just got to feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
9 months of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, what's the big deal?
Yeah. All right. So you break her down, Josh. Don't get married. Don't pressure her, but just take that land one step at a time. Larry?
Hey, Adam and Teresa.
What's going on, Larry?
Oh, I'm in turmoil and I need your help.
What's happening?
Okay, I've been married for 9 years. Have an 8-year-old son. My wife filed for divorce a couple of 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, it's come back, I love you forever, and no, it's not going to work the next day. And this is like 6 times. I have had to pick my heart up off the ground several times. I even moved to Hawaii, and she said, come back, it'll be like you never believe it. And it's just like, and here's the big thing. Behind my back, she closed the divorce, and I just found out about it. And I've been divorced since October of last year. Because she fired the attorney and told me, oh, I stopped it. Well, she did it on her own.
Hey, Larry.
I'm out of my mind. What do I do?
All right. Where are you now? Are you with her?
No. I'm in San Francisco, and she's now in Southern California with my son.
All right. Hold on a second, Larry. Well, could do worse than San Francisco, but not Hawaii. Hawaii wouldn't be worse. Okay, let me say this. Because we need to take a break. We'll get back with this. But I want to say this quickly. A lot of people have a lot of drama in their lives. I've talked to many people about this on many occasions. They come from chaos. All they know is chaos. There's people don't know if they're alive or that they're alive unless they're having chaos. Sometimes it's at the workplace. Sometimes it's in relationships. Oftentimes it's in any relationship they have. It's the relationship they have with waiters when they go out. It's just chaos. That's all they know. And if you enter their life, their sphere, their circle, you will have to engage with them. And you keep trying to approach it using your rational brain. You go, I don't understand. Why would this person say they wanted to be with me and then not want to be with me? And then when I leave, they say they want to be with me. Why would they say this and then do that? Because they love chaos. It's not rational. You see, you have a rational mind, and you're in a dance with somebody who doesn't have a rational mind, and you're trying to use reason. It's like you're living on a planet that has gravity, and they don't. And you keep saying, yeah, but I don't understand. I dropped the apple. Why doesn't it go to the ground? Because that's not what happens on their planet. You need to understand that, and I don't know that there's much that changed those people. Now, what happens eventually as you get older, especially with women, you get a little bit older, you start losing your looks. And as you lose your looks or your appeal or your whatever to the opposite sex, you lose some of that power. Please, 29? That's not old.
Got 5 more good years.
I've known her for 16 months. She's been 29 the entire time. Here's my point. you lose a little of that power. And when you lose a little of that power, well, then you can't be as crazy as you were when you were 22 and smoking hot. Because when you're 22 and smoke hot, you get to go to Hawaii, come back, go to Hawaii, come back. When you're 42 and you're losing it, you can go to Hawaii and come back once. And then eventually the guy goes to Hawaii and finds another 22-year-old to get on top of. And he's not flying back to get on top of your 42-year-old ass. But chaos. I would say, and I'll talk to Larry more about this when we get back, I normally say, forget it. Once somebody says they're chaotic, cut bait, move on. Now he has an 8-year-old. And now that 8-year-old's going to get raised by this chaotic person. So we'll try to stop the bleeding tea.
I would say, and we can talk to Larry when we come back, but I would say he's attracted to the chaos or he wouldn't have been there all along.
Another very valid point. That's why you're the yin to my yang, baby. I couldn't do it without you. Now get me some more coffee. Quick break. Back with your relationship questions.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where Ace and Teresa are giving out more relationship advice. So call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, baby girl, you got your ears on?
Yep.
Now, Larry.
Yes.
Right. So, we're talking to you about your wife and now your ex-wife.
Well, I have a really big question. I didn't get in to ask both of your advice, please. What's happening now, and she found out, I just recently inherited a fortune from a relative. I mean, set up for life. She's contacting me again, pulling my strings. I mean, I'm not wanting to go for it, but my son, she holds my son over my head.
Hey, Larry. Let me say this, and take this in the spirit in which it's intended. A lot of guys aren't real sophisticated psychologically. They're just not. They work with their hands or they do whatever, but they don't know a lot about the inner workings of a woman and they don't know much about psychology. And they get these handfuls. Your ex-wife is a handful. She's a project and you're not really qualified to deal with it. And then you get your ass kicked around. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like if I got my 1.5-year-old son a model, but the model had 7,000 pieces and 400 moving parts, and it was a real intricate thing that took a schematic to put together. He'd just stare at it for a long time and eventually get frustrated. But he would see the picture, the beautiful airplane on the box, and go, I want that. Then he'd open the box and he'd try to put it together, but he wasn't capable of doing it, and he'd get frustrated. Yeah. That's what's going on here. Larry, this is a good thing for you because she officially divorced your ass and now you got a bunch of money.
You do
not need to yo-yo with this girl. What you do need to do is listen to both of us. A, listen to me. Stop dancing with this person with two broken legs. But B, listen to Teresa. Look at it. Look at yourself in the mirror and decide, what is it that attracted you to this person that was not sane? I have this conversation with people all the time where they go, there's no normal people out there. I'm just a regular guy who wants to, you know, and I keep hooking up with all these crazy stripper coke heads and there's no, and no. There are plenty of people out there that are normal, that are healthy, that are attractive, that want to date, that want to have fruitful relationships. You're close to it. They're not on your radar. You're effed up.
You'll walk into a room and you will find the one girl who's a firecracker.
Right.
Because that's what you're attracted to because it's interesting.
Right.
And also, you have the chance to fix it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Kristen?
Yes.
What's happening, my girl?
Well, I have been dating this guy that I'm madly in love with for the last 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he went with me and he asked me to go try on an engagement ring and get it sized and everything like that. He moved in and has been just talking about how he can't wait to. We finally walked down the aisle and he said that basically it's financial problems that is causing him from actually buying the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he just got about $3,000 for Christmas from his parents, and my ring was probably about $1,400.
Mm.
And he went and bought an Xbox and a really expensive razor.
He's going to make a great dad.
Oh, no.
And I'm kind of crushed, you know, because I don't
it's
know.
It's going to be her name in a few months, Xbox. Kristen?
Where's
Xbox? My Xbox?
She moved out. Wow, I really thought when he got that $3,000, it was just you were just going to wait it out.
Absolutely, and I even kind of confronted him. I said, you know, you said you were waiting for the financial reasons, and now you have money. I'm just worried that there's another issue that we're not dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, 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 it's just financial, but I've just been working so hard, I think I deserve to spend a little on myself.
Well, to be fair, he had the Xbox on layaway. Put that on hold. a few months before he put the ring away. You know, they say you should spend 3 months' salary on a video game.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
That's
the rule. That's the rule of thumb.
What do you play on the Xbox?
You know, here's the whole thing about Xbox. It's a slippery slope because people say to me, oh, you'd love this. Oh, they got car games. They got fighter pilot games. Yes, all I need is another excuse to sit on my fat ass in front of a TV set. Like, I don't watch 9 hours of TV anyway. Now I have to watch 9 hours of Super Mario Brother running around. For the love of Christ. You know what I mean? I feel when people talk about video games, to me, trying to talk me into it, I feel like it's like porn goggles. You know, I mean, like if someone says, hey, man, you can watch porn while you're driving now. You can masturbate at work and during meetings. I'm good. I don't need to dedicate more time to that. Do you know what I'm saying? It's weird. They treat it like it's working out or something. Like, well, it's good for you.
Yeah, it's cardio.
Like, you don't have... Well, no, I mean, that is. But what I mean is the video games. You'd love this video game. You've got to get this video game.
Well, I'm sure I'd love cocaine, too. I don't want to try that.
Right.
Because I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it.
How about I start slamming heroin, chasing the dragon?
It's great.
It'd be awesome.
Kristen, I got to ask a few things quickly.
Okay.
So you went ring shopping. So obviously he's very serious about it. Because the guy's not just going to go ring shopping with you. Unless he's very interested.
I know. He went with his sister to first pick it out and see if, you know, another girl thought it was pretty and she approved of it. And his whole family, he had told his whole family that we were going to get engaged. We had an engagement, like, tour of the families that we had planned last month. And they all said, so we hear that the big announcement is coming. And he said, no, not this month. And it's not happening.
How old is he and how old are you?
I'm 26. He's 25.
Mm-hmm. And how's his career going?
That's an issue right now. Is he took a little time off. He's finishing his last year of college in a couple months.
Want to catch up on some Xbox?
He has something lined up after that, but you know, I don't know.
Okay. Here's what happens. Dig T.
I'm digging.
First off, my wife always hates to hear this, but. Sorry, sweetie. It's the truth.
This is what you woke me up for.
She really hates, you know, I say a lot of stuff that she hates, but she hates this one the most. Women get married when they meet the right guy, and guys get married when they meet the right age.
Yeah, I believe that.
Sad, but true. Now, you have to be with the right woman at the right time.
You're not just going to marry anybody.
But... I had girlfriends when I was 23, and I wouldn't marry them because I was 23. I just felt too young. I wasn't established in my life. I wasn't established in my career. If I was with that person when I was 33, maybe I would have married them. It's, again, it's not that romantic, but it's true. Now, I'm in love with my wife, and I think she's the right person for me and the right mother for my children. But guys do it on a chronological thing, whereas women think a little less with the calendar and a little more with their heart. Now, the other thing that happens is you get into this relationship dance where the chick wants something, the guy doesn't. The next thing you know, the guy's running and you're chasing him, swinging around an Xbox because he doesn't even know why he's running anymore. 6 months ago, it was his idea to get engaged. Now you're putting a bum rush on him and he's freaked out. He's 25. You're 26. Slow down. Relax. People live into their 90s now. Don't pressure him. He's weirded out. And ladies, you need to understand that, guys, our identity is not in our relationship. It's in our relationship with our career. There's another sad one for you guys to hear. You guys wrap up so much of your identity in who you're with, what your status is, what your family is. We have some of that. But you show me a guy who has a good wife and a good kids and works at the coin-op laundry, and I'll show you guys miserable who all his friends and peers make fun of.
And
you
I've
see
seen,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've seen it happen many times where a guy suddenly got a great job, got married within a year of that.
Right. So again, you don't feel young. You're 26. Believe me, you're young. You have 5 years. No problemo. I don't know if it's going to be with this guy. Don't bum rush him. Don't freak him out. On the other hand, you know, he can't sit around, smoke weed, masturbate, and play Xbox for 9 hours a day. You limit it to 7.5 hours a day, like me. Let him get his career going. Let him settle his financial whatever. Back off. He'll stop running. It's one of those things where you stop chasing him. Eventually, he'll stop running. He'll turn and look over his shoulder. He'll come to a stop and he'll turn around and start walking back toward you. Just relax. All right, T. I don't know where to. I don't know where to end. I want to keep doing this, but we're running out of time. Jason?
Hello?
Jason, it says here you can't get over your ex who's getting married.
Yeah, I just found out she got engaged over the holidays.
Oh, that must
You're
have
a homo.
Heartbreaking. And she broke up with you how long ago?
We broke up in May of last year.
She's already engaged to somebody else?
Yeah, this is the guy that she was seeing and she had left to be with me. And then we were together for a little over a year. And then when we broke up, we went through that period where you break up twice in like a, you know, two-month period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You realize you shouldn't be broken up and you get back together. And then you realize that it shouldn't be there. Then like 30 days later, she was with him in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And like every relationship since then, like, has been with like either a woman that's been crazy or somebody that started loving me before I was ready to start loving them.
All right, Jason, when are you gonna be ready to start loving yourself? Hey, Jason, how old are you?
I just turned 30.
Okay, let me say this, my brother, and then we're gonna take a break. T, I assume you'll agree with this advice. I've been in Jason's position many times, heartbroken, dumped. Hey, everyone's been there. You think it's unique. You think it's a unique kind of pain. It is the worst kind of pain, and we all get to experience it in our own unique way, but it's just as big to every individual that experiences that dump pain. Now, I don't know when it goes away. It goes away. It's like there's a big pile of sand on your pain tray. And every day, little genie comes in with some tweezers and takes 2 or 3 grains away. But you don't notice it by looking at the pile of sand. It looks the same as it was the day before. But lo and behold, 9 months goes by or a year goes by, and all of a sudden, it's just a little pile. There's nothing left anymore. Used to be a big pile. You didn't notice it, but it's gone. Now, if you keep going back and forth with the same person and you don't start the healing, the genie never shows up with the tweezers. You see what I'm saying, baby?
Yeah.
So, A, you have to start the genie process with the tweezers taking the little grains of salt away from your hurt pile. But the other thing you can do, and this is the only thing you can do, is work on yourself. Now, I know this sounds trite, and I'm not selling any self-help cassettes, but here's the deal. When somebody dumps you or you're heartbroken, your impulse is to work on that person. That's the wrong person to work on. You work on yourself. You know why Leonardo DiCaprio isn't miserable when he gets dumped or when he breaks up with somebody or when someone breaks up with him? Because he makes millions of dollars, he drives cool cars, he has great work, he travels, and there's tons of chicks that are interested in him. I've been on both sides. I know what it's like to be dumped on or to break up with somebody when I'm driving a crappy Mazda pickup truck around North Hollywood. I'm making $8 an hour and I'm sleeping on a futon with the wheeze. And I know what it's like to be successful, have money in my pocket, have a nice bachelor pad, have a nice car, and be single. Two totally different things. It's not so much how much you love the person. It's where is your life and what's going on with your life. Now, sure, the person factors in. But I'll tell you, if you're a guy and you just got dumped, but you're making money hand over fist and you have a job that's rewarding and you're successful and you're driving a cool car and you're bringing it back to a cool bachelor pad and you're traveling and you have lots of friends, believe me, you will land on your feet momentarily. You'll be out with another hot chick in a matter of days or weeks, whatever it is. Your life is so fulfilling that when this person leaves, they take 10% of it, but you still have 90% of it. And that 90% is pretty damn good versus left with a cesspool. 90% crap. T?
Jason, on a practical level, are you still talking to this person? Is she still a friend? Do you talk to her on the phone? Do you look at her MySpace page? Do you have any contact?
I deleted her from my Yahoo Messenger. I deleted her from my MySpace. All about like last
good.
September.
Because, now, Jason, here's your next move. You just start doing push-ups and do it over a textbook. You make yourself stronger and smarter. You just start working out more. You start focusing on your career. You start doing all those things that are about you, and you start forging yourself into a super human being. And then all sorts of attractive women are into you. And again, it's not about money. It's about you. It's about what you make yourself into. Again, you look depressed. I don't know what's wrong.
I feel for him. I know he's going to feel better, but there's nothing more painful. I just want to tell him, in a year from now, you absolutely will not feel this way.
But now hold on.
Don't cry!
You may if you do nothing but sit around. And you start spiraling down, and you start eating junk food, and you start getting depressed. You won't if you force your way out of it. Meaning, if you set your alarm for 6 a.m. tomorrow and you go on an 8-mile jog, you will force yourself out of it. You may be depressed. You may not want to do it. Kickstart yourself. Force yourself out of it. You're going to be miserable for the next 6 months. Why not get something done?
I agree. Jason, you going for a jog? We put him on hold.
Yeah. He killed himself while I was on hold. We need to take a break. T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news, baby girl?
More depressing even than Jason's love life. If you have been sleeping, you must get caught up with what is happening with Britney Spears. It is unbelievable.
Saw that, yeah. All right, so we'll catch you up on that?
Absolutely.
All right. Take a quick break, back with the news next.
Don't try funny. We don't come down to your work and distort the truth.
To find out if you are smarter than a Raiders fan for your chance to win an Xbox 360.
Who is the current Secretary of State?
It's not George Bush. It's probably like John Edwards.
Talk to ESPN's Chris Fowler and find out what really pissed Adam off in 2007 as we count down last year in rage.
Oh, I wish I had a 50 caliber machine gun just to go ahead and pump spent uranium into the back of that puss.
Vote now at AdamCarolla.com. Teresa Strasser's got the news.
Happy New Year, you F's.
And we'll hear from you at 866-901-ADAM. Live across America and streaming the world at AdamCarolla.com. And now, the winner of the Iowa caucus, Adam Carolla.
That's
the Adam Carolla Show.
Again, still a proud member of the
Black caucus.
Swinging Black caucus.
Yeah, yes. You know, they're hardliners, so it's usually thought of as a hard Black caucus.
That's right. Very hard line over there. All right. T.
Yes.
Would you like to see my constituency, or should we move on with the news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Barack Obama and Mike Huckabee have claimed victories in Iowa's first in the nation caucuses. With all Democratic precincts reporting, Obama had the support of 38% of the voters, Edwards with 30, and Hillary Clinton with 29, very close between second and third. Here is Barack Obama talking about hope.
Hope is the bedrock of this nation. The belief that our destiny will not be written for us, but by us, by all those men and women who are not content to settle for the world as it is, who have the courage to remake the world as it should be. That is what we started here in Iowa, and that is the message we can now carry to New Hampshire and beyond.
Now, this isn't the only indicator, but Iowa, 95% white.
Right.
Yet we elect, or they elect, Barack.
Yeah.
How racist are we as a country? Again, I say it all the time, and everyone thinks I'm so naive. Oh, do not be naive. We are racist. And then they do that one where they go, well, you hang out with your gay Hollywood friends over there in the blue states, and then you fly over the red states, and you go to the East Coast, and you hang out with your bohemian friends over there in Manhattan or Soho, and of course, they're not racist, so you don't know what's really going on in the rest of the country. But where's Iowa? Somewhere in the middle. And what are they? White. And who's on top? The big swinging Black caucus. I'm not saying, I'm saying it's a good thing. Why are we fighting it all the time? Why do we kick ourselves so much? Do you know what I mean? I mean, imagine, let's just break it down for a second, everybody. I get angry. But let's forget about it's this country. Let's just say you're talking about one of these Middle Eastern countries we don't know much about. And there's two tribes. And they say, well, these guys over here, these are the Abduli tribe, and the other tribe over there is the Kabasha tribe, right? And people kept telling you how racist the Kabasha were and how they would never have Abduli tribesmen run their tribe and blah, 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 blah. But then you got news. And you got news that this place that I'm talking about, 95% Kabuli, well, they just went ahead and got the Kabbalah tribe guy in there, whatever the hell I named it 5 minutes ago.
Kabusha?
Kabusha, whatever it is. Point is you wouldn't be saying how racist they were and how they would never elect this guy. They just did. You'd say you're wrong. It's not as bad as we previously thought. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I'm not saying we're not racist. I'm saying we're not nearly as racist as we keep saying we are, so maybe we should tone it down a little.
How about Mike Huckabee? He took a commanding lead over Mitt Romney and Fred Thompson, who only had 13%, and McCain with 13%. Here is Mike Huckabee talking about how much he loves his new favorite state.
I wasn't sure that I would ever be able to love a state as much as I love my home state of Arkansas. But tonight, I love Iowa a whole lot.
I think he's going to love New Hampshire next week.
Mm-hmm. And they say Barack is going to love New Hampshire as well. As a matter of fact, the big question with the Barack campaign is, can he get the brothers to vote for him over Hillary Clinton? Again, how racist are we? The brothers want to vote for a white chick. The white guys are voting for a brother. Really? We're that racist. We're that racist. Okay. That's in one of the red states, everybody.
Here's what Hillary Clinton had to say.
How will we win in November 2008? By nominating a candidate who will be able to go the distance and who will be the best president on day one. I am ready for that contest.
Okay. How paper thin does she sound? How, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm going to cut her open and sawdust is going to come out of her. She doesn't seem like she has a genuine fiber in her being, does she?
Well, they say that Barack Obama and Mike Huckabee both have a certain, whether they are or they aren't, they communicate a certain authenticity. You feel there's some real charm there.
Yes. Yes. It's called it, by the way. It's called charisma.
Right.
And there are people that don't have it, and human beings don't respond well to those people.
And it's unfortunate because Hillary Clinton might have far more experience. She might be smarter. She might have better foreign policy ideas. Who knows? It doesn't matter. She doesn't connect.
Yes, that's right. Because she's not comfortable in her own skin. She's constantly trying to figure out how to get people to look at her a certain way instead of just being. Do you know those people? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's what she has. And it's sad. She may be more qualified. But because she spends so much time trying to convince people she's a human being, and we're not buying it, whereas Huckabee and Barack just get up there in their Huckabee and Barack. You don't get the feeling that Barack is trying to figure out ways for you to like him more. He's figuring out ways for him to be more Barack.
Yeah, he's trying to communicate his message of change and hope, and it's connected. You have to think Oprah's endorsement has helped. Because people do what Oprah says. I do. When Oprah tells me to buy a book, I buy it. When she tells me to see a movie, I see it.
I am ashamed to say this, but I was watching Dr. Oz on Oprah.
Mehmet?
Yeah, I don't like watching my wife wants me to watch Dr. Oz on Oprah once a week, but here's the problem. Half his stuff has to do with your partner putting her hand in your ass, and I'm not into that.
To check for polyps?
Who knows? I tune out. The point is Dr. Oz is always like, you got to use your index finger. Here's what I hear. Here's when I tune out. The next time you take a shower, Uh-oh. Here it comes. Gents, the next time you need to do a full scrotal inspection or you need to check your prostate gland, whatever it is, when I hear in the shower, I like to tune out. And then my wife always looks at me and goes, that's right. We got to get you or whatever. And that's why I don't like watching Dr. Oz.
It always ends up in the shower.
But not interested.
But Dr. Oz brought up something called a neti cup.
Neti pot. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's a weird little pot, little genie lantern you put in your nose with salt water. Saline. And you ding it. It goes right through your sinuses and dumps out. I don't have any problem with my sinuses. I thought, I got to get me one of them.
I want a neti pot, too. And I don't have any sinus trouble.
Well, I figure even if it doesn't work, you could smoke weed out of it.
A neti bong.
Yeah. T's V, good name.
Neti pot.
Neti pot. All right, where were we?
Britney Spears.
Yeah.
In case you've been sleeping. Britney Spears, guess where she is right now? Over at Cedar Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
They're holding her. Now, there's something called a 51-50 hold. Mm-hmm. That means...
You're really into Van Halen.
That means they have evidence that Britney Spears is either a danger to herself or others, as in her kids. They can hold her and evaluate her.
I had to do this to my,
You 51-50'd someone?
I had to do it to my mother-in-law about 5 years ago.
She was acting up?
It is the worst. She's passed away, so I can speak freely about her. She is a full-blooded Italian, spoke with a thick accent, and is a third-degree black belt. And we had to go get her out of her house. And it was like trying to get a bobcat out of... It'd be like trying to get a bobcat out from under your house. It was basically that experience. We went in, and I basically just sat down with her, and I said, look, you're not well. You're delusional. You're not picking up the phone. You're not eating. Now, you're going to need to go to the hospital right now. And we can drive you to the hospital. Or if you don't go, then we're going to have to call the cops and they're going to have to make you go. And she said, call the cops. And I said, please, it's Friday night. I work all week. It's 9:00. I know the cops. They're not going to be here until 11. I'm just going to have to sit here. Call the cops. So we called the cops and I just sat there in this horrible, rundown San Fernando Valley house, thinking, I wonder what TV shows I'm missing right now on an effing Friday night. We just sat there, and sure enough, 11 o'clock came around, patrol car pulled up, a couple of young guys got out, and we said, there's a crazy woman. She's wearing a nightgown and some slippers, but watch out. She's 65 years young, and she can break pine on her forehead. She's in that bedroom back there. Now, you can try to talk her into it. God knows I'm blue in the face, but go right ahead. They went down to the end of the hall, the crappy bedroom of the crappy house. The man, next thing you know, furniture's breaking, and a woman is bellowing. Why do you do this? It's like, oh, my wife's crying and holding her ears. She's screaming at her. They're fighting. She broke the cop's watch off, kicked a guy in the face. I mean, it was like, it was really like they should have just put her in a burlap sack. It was really like trying to get a bobcat into a burlap sack, screaming and stuff. And of course, she's like in her nightgown, so you don't want to get anywhere near that. You know what I'm saying. And I'm just down at the hall, end of the hall. My wife's hysterically crying and the bellowing is coming down. It was the worst effing night of my life.
What triggered this?
Yeah, she was getting a little older, very religious, starting to go a little bit nutty. And next thing you know, God told her to check into the Holiday Inn, you know, up the street and max out her credit card and sit there and eat lunch or eat dinner alone, but order a separate meal for God that sat across the table. You know, the chili size was getting cold across the table there because that was God's meal, that kind of thing. So eventually we decided she needed to get on some meds, whether she liked them or not. Thus, the cops were summoned.
So you 51-50'd her for 72 hours while they could evaluate.
These poor cops.
Can you imagine when they got back to the precinct having to explain what kind of perp? I mean, that must have been some perp. Your watch is broken. You're scratched up.
Old.
Who did this?
Old Heidi. had to get her in a headlock. It's like trying to drag Mama Celeste out of the kitchen.
Ugh. Well, in the case of Brittany, here's what happened. Here is why she is being held, possibly against her will, at Cedars-Sinai. She held her kids hostage last night. Cops had to be called to her home. She refused to turn over custody of her kids to KFED's bodyguard, as she was required to do by the courts. Mm-hmm. Now, both boys are now safely in the custody of their father. Brittany, after this very long standoff with cops, was rushed to the emergency room for psychiatric evaluation, and police say that she was on something. That's what they're saying. They won't say. They won't say what.
She was on a gurney. Last I saw,
she was on a gurney.
They strapped her down.
There was mass chaos. There were fire trucks, police cars, ambulances. They strapped her down. You could see paramedics trying to hold her feet down, and she's got a huge smile on her face.
Well, obviously she's on something. This is. Look, let's put it this way. Did Britney Spears have a stroke in 2005? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, Britney Spears had her crap together. Am I right? She was touring. She was dancing. She remembered all the lyrics. She remembered all the steps. She did all the interviews and the TRLs. She had relationships. Everything was fine, right? Then what? Something entered her life. Now, I don't think you just go nutty when you're 26. You start ingesting something that makes you nutty. I mean, get her a CAT scan. Maybe she has a tumor the size of a cassava melon on her frontal lobe, but I doubt it. She's ingesting something.
Well, that's the question. Is her instability mental illness? Is it drug-induced? Is it both? One can obviously cause the other. I mean, you do enough drugs, and your brain chemistry is a mess.
I don't think this is... This kind of stuff doesn't jump in when you're 25 and a half.
I would be shocked. And then, you know, she's in a custody battle over the kids. This is not going to be helpful. I think there's going to be a custody hearing today. KFED's going to want to put an end to the visitation rights that Brittany has. And one of the little boys reportedly also went to the hospital in an ambulance. No telling what was wrong with him. But the reports are now that both boys are safely back with their good parent, Kevin Federline.
Yeah. Well... Look, everyone always worries about the kids, but really, those two retards, what are those kids going to be doing? Nature or nurture? You think they're going to cure AIDS or cancer or obesity? They're not going to do anything anyway. They're just going to do drugs.
They
Who cares?
Become backup dancers. All right, I'll close out with this, and I will, of course, keep you updated as the morning goes on with the news of Brittany and what happens with her. Did you see Celebrity Apprentice last night?
Yes, I did.
It premiered. Pretty good.
Yes. I always enjoy that show, but I like the celebrity version.
They had boxer Lennox Lewis, former playmate Tim.
He is classy.
He's classy. What about Tiffany Fallon? Is she classy?
Class personified.
How about UFC fighter Tito Ortiz?
Tito is classy.
Mary Lou Henner?
Not a fan.
Really?
Vegan. No class.
Well, you put her on your
Doesn't
show.
Doesn't eat meat. Does not eat meat or dairy.
Meat is classy?
Meat is classy.
What's the classy?
I have a meat chandelier.
You do?
Yes. Good name for tease me.
It does glitter.
Who else you want to know about?
Trace Adkins.
Degenerate.
Wow. Oh. Pierce Morgan?
Loser.
He's British. Those people are classy.
Classy, then.
Okay, good. Oh, Gene Simmons.
Classy, degenerate, loser.
All three. Mm. How about the gold medalist, Jenny Finch?
Not familiar with her.
She's on your Apprentice show. She's I think she was a softball
Degenerate player. Lesbian.
Oh. But just because she plays softball, she seems straight.
Mm.
Degenerate?
Loser.
How about Stephen Baldwin?
No, I mean lose her. She's off the show.
I think you have to fire her.
I'm classy. I have a chandelier made of meat and softballs.
How's your wife?
Miss Carblanquia?
That's right.
She's very classy. You know how I know she's classy?
How?
I can't understand effing word she says.
Did you go back to her home country for Christmas?
Yes, she's from Hotlania. Class of Varia. She's very hot. She's classy. She has an accent. And not one of those, ones from south of the border. She has one of the ones from, the European. She's European. Everything from Europe is classy. Have you seen my bachelor pad? Have you seen my apartment? Have you seen my penthouse apartment?
Oh, yeah.
Everything from Europe.
It's ornate.
The apartment was moved brick by brick from France. Well, all 28 stories of it.
You've got a European on your show, Nadia Comaneci. She's Romanian.
Classy and can get to her own junk. Which is the ultimate class move.
And, of course, you brought back Omarosa.
Class act. She's really? Famous from being on my show.
That's true. That's her claim to fame.
Yes.
Carol Alt?
Pure class.
You like her?
Yes.
Supermodel.
That's right, because she seems like she might speak with an accent.
I don't think she does.
I know. She's classy until she opens her soup cooler and I find out she's from New Jersey.
Well, here she is opening up her soup cooler, Carol Alt, that is, during a debate with Omarosa about who chose the location for the hot dog stand and whether or not it was the right one.
It's did you not defer even, to Carol?
Absolutely.
No, we did not.
Wait, okay. Stop. Because I don't want you to step away from the fact that you took lead on location. Did you not?
I didn't take lead. You gave me lead on location because I was from New York.
You started giving us coaching lessons about New York. And you were the self-proclaimed
New Yorker. I
tutored
you on the locations. You asked me
and
about the locations.
And now you're cowering
everything.
From the fact that
I'm
you
not cowering at all. Don't you ever
you
say that to me.
Step up and say that
what
you
what I'm saying
that
to you is,
and don't
I gave you all the information about each of the areas that we chose.
Do you think you gave them the right information about location? Because you really would know location. Like,
absolutely.
I would know the location better than...
What I gave them about 34th and 7th was...
That is not a good location, in my opinion.
Anywhere near Penn Station. Yeah, you can make the $1 sale to the tourist who's coming into New York maybe around noon, but it's a very poor location.
You know how Carol Alt could be classier?
How?
If she sounded like Arianna Huffington.
That would be great.
Mm.
Kind of a Greek...
Hold on, I'm having a class fantasy.
All your fantasies are classy,
I'm
right?
I'm a class... nice.
Well, Omarosa and Carol Alt went at it just a little bit more.
I have nothing against Omarosa. I have the utmost respect for what she's accomplished on The Apprentice. However, I just felt that that got in the way a bit. I think that she was very secure in what she was doing and almost overly secure.
They all loved the fact that I had been on the show. They tried to exploit
absolutely.
Me for that and extract information
not
from
exploit.
It. And now she sits here and says it's a liability. Why
it ultimately appeared...
Well, because it's convenient because you're sitting in front
no,
of Donald
No, because it's
but
now the end of the
questions
task,
you
so
asked
I
me
saw
yesterday.
What the problems were.
I
didn't
open. I shared information with you all, and now you have the audacity
well,
to sit here and criticize me for being helpful.
Donald Trump, do you think your show, Celebrity Apprentice, is going to do
it's
well?
It's the number one TV show in the universe.
It just premiered, though. I don't know if
it premiered at number one.
Is it going to take over television this season?
It is the only show that is being broadcast right now. It's the number one show on the number one network in the number one country in the world.
Congratulations on all your success. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Who is number one?
Yes, girl Minka. Nice job, baby girl. Hey, when we come back, last... I'm just reading these things for the first time. Last year in rage. These are all my... There's all my rants from last year. My top five from last year. We have, I don't even remember half these. Hardee's breakfast burrito with the white gravy on it.
Oh, yeah. I think that's 4,000 or 5,000 calories or something.
That got 8% of the vote. My wife asking my assistant to bring her a sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of making herself one in the big kitchen I built.
This is what you woke me up for.
My old shop teacher, Mr. Mallon. I hope he doesn't hear this because he's dead. Oprah doing the show about the OJ book without reading it. Oh, I forgot about that
You're
one.
Pretty pissed about that.
Yes, and the number one as voted on by you guys on the website, 38% of the vote, Dawson.
Dude.
Walking past the two open urinals to use the potty in the stall to go number one without lifting the seat.
I waited for you, man.
Last year in rage. Next, everybody.
Piss me off. Jerk. Get on my nerves.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time to count down the top five things that pissed Adam off last year. Last year in rage. Right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Piss me off.
Well, this is a surprise. I had no idea the Hardee's breakfast burrito would be a first up on this one. I barely remember talking about it. But now I pulled the page off the USA Today website, and I forgot what's in this baby. You want to know what's in the Hardee's breakfast burrito? Let's see. It's the country.
This week in rage.
All right, I'm just going to start going.
Dick, I pay taxes, bitch.
What?
Number five.
Hardee's country breakfast burrito. And by the way, when you put country in front of something, you can add 5,000 calories. I don't know what country they're talking about, but it's a very fat Lardberg is the country they're talking about. Yeah, country breakfast burrito. Two eggs, bacon, sausage, diced ham, cheddar cheese, hash browns, sausage, and here's the one that killed me. White gravy. All in a corn, I should say flour, tortilla, 920 calories. But here's the thing. I love everything in this except for the gravy. Really? First off, you're taking an entire lunch truck and you're packing it into a taco shell at this point. 920 calories, 60 grams of fat, but I can dig it. Potatoes, eggs, ham, sausage, all that. Why the white gravy? Do you think that makes it any better? And by the way, it's a burrito. You think they have white gravy in Mexico? No, they have salsa in Mexico. Put the low-cal, healthy salsa in there. Save yourself 150 calories and make your product that much better. Look, Hardee's, when I swing by today about 10:20, I'm going animal style on this. I'm going to order your breakfast country burrito, but I'm going to need you to take the country out of the burrito. You know, they say you can't take the burrito out of the country, but the... God damn it, how'd that one go? Point is, no gravy, more salsa. Where was I? Ah, my wife. Number four down.
Number four.
Coming down to number one. That's right. Sometime last year, my wife was having one of her friends over for a play date. You want to know how these play dates work?
Yeah.
My wife sits around my house. She invites another white chick over, and then they have five Mexican chicks watch the three white kids that run around in a circle in my house, and they sit around and eat, which is fine. I'll underwrite that. But she calls my assistant, Jane. She says, hey, Jay, pick up some sandwiches.
But surely you didn't have any fixings for sandwiches already at home.
Oh, nay. Nay. I said yay to bread and cold cuts and deli mustards and tomatoes and all the good fixings. You see, there was a time when a woman didn't think about somebody picking up food and bringing it back to her house. She thought about making her own food in her own house in that place called the kitchen. Now, my wife knows it as the place with the box that has fire in it. But I explained to her, that's called an oven. This is called a kitchen. I remodeled it. And you want to know what I used to remodel it, T?
What?
These! My hands. My own hands. And I didn't use... No, not that. These!
All right.
And I used these to remodel that kitchen. And not so that him could hop in it and go over to there and pick up those and bring them after using these. No, you use your own hands, my dear. You butter your own bread and you feed your own face. Although if you want to swing by Hardee's and get a country breakfast burrito, I wouldn't stop you. My old shop teacher, Mr. Mallon. Oh, what a dick. Now, look, a lot of people have that thing where it's like, hey, man, let bygones be bygones. That was the eighth grade. I'm sure he's a feeble old man now. T.S. Kiss my ass, you decrepit dwarf. This guy was a dick and a half. Is Charlie Sheen starring in that? He was a horrible man. He had a drinking fountain in his class. Now, he taught shop. He taught plastic shop. And he had a drinking fountain in his class. It was one of those things that was plumbed into the sink. You know, those shop sinks, and one of them has a little drinking fountain thing worked in. You kids with your bottled water don't know from drinking fountains anymore. But his policy, and here's what a dick he was. His policy was, is when you come into my class, you sit down. You don't go get yourself a drink. You go right in and you sit down. When you work, you work. When you clean up, you clean up. And when the bell rings, you leave. No drinking from the drinking fountain. What a dick. He did nothing but make simulated marble pen holders for a living at 18 grand a year. But he had jurisdiction over a group of scared eighth graders that were struggling with their sexuality, with their family, with their peers, and he kicked the crap out of them. You terrorize kids, you angry dwarf. I hope you're dead, but if not, I hope you've lost your hearing. No, I hope you've lost your sight, but you can hear my voice wishing you to hell right now, Mr. Mallon. I hated this guy so much. The only chick in high school that liked me was Stacy Mallon, his daughter, and I wouldn't date her. She wasn't bad. I think she took pity on me. She had a crush on me, and I couldn't get the stink of her dad off her, and I wouldn't date her just because of that. Look, all you teachers out there, but especially you shop teachers, you big, fat, hairy guys with the big forearms and the big guts who like to walk around and terrorize eighth graders, kiss my ass. I hope you're all dead.
Where was
number
I?
Two. Oprah. Now, Oprah recently had Denise Brown on her show. I don't know. It was a few months ago. It's when that book was coming out.
If I Did It.
Yes. And Oprah, because she's Oprah, wanted to have a good booking and talk about this controversial subject. But because Oprah's poop doesn't stink, she had to keep announcing to her audience, who just lapped it up like lap dogs, that she didn't read the book because she didn't want to dirty her little hands. So she sat there discussing a book with a woman, and neither one of them had read it because it was beneath them. And by the way, you can read Mein Kampf and not be
a Nazi,
somebody who did something bad, if you're going to have a discussion, if you're going to interview somebody, if this is going to be the topic of your one-hour show, quit telling everybody you didn't read the book. Can we hear that?
Have you read it?
No.
Will you read it?
No. Have you?
I haven't read it.
Will you?
And I won't be reading it. No, I will not.
Oh, what a sanctimonious pile of hypocritical crap she is. She doesn't want to endorse the book. She's not going to read it. She spent an hour talking about the book with the other chick who didn't want to endorse the book, who didn't read it. So now I got these two baddie bitches up on stage talking for an hour about a book they never read. Hey, Teresa.
Yeah?
What book haven't you read?
Eat, Pray, Love.
All right. I haven't read that either. Huh? Should we spend an hour talking about it?
That would be difficult.
That would be awesome radio. Hey, remember chapter 11?
I didn't read it, and you know what? I shan't.
Yeah, I don't even know how many chapters it has.
Me either.
Maybe it goes right from chapter 10 to chapter 12.
Who's the main character?
Don't know.
Me either.
I don't know even who it was dedicated to or who the acknowledgments are for.
Do you eat, pray, or love first? Or love last?
You're asking the wrong fella. I wouldn't know. That's great entertainment, Oprah. Bitch. Where were we? Ah, yes.
Number one.
Oh, no.
Look, this is as voted on by the Adam Carolla listeners.
Dude.
All right.
I waited for you, man.
Yeah. Well, he should have waited until he could have gotten a clean shot at one of the urinals.
This is a can of worms about a can.
Okay, let me say this. I am not hella weeds, but I do feel like I have certain standards I like to live by. Nay, we should all live by in the workplace. What you do at your own place is fine with me. You don't want to flip the lid up. You want to whiz all over the seat. You want to screw up the microwave. Your effing business. But at work, have a little respect for the others, just as you wish they'd have for you. I want, by the way, to use the microwave to heat my coffee up on Monday morning, and it was as if somebody took a wheel of cheddar cheese, five stalks of broccoli, and put an M80 in it and blew it up in the effing thing. There was like broccoflour and melted cheese all over the effing microwave. Now look! Whoever did this, and I have my suspicions, you realize your quiche exploded in my microwave, don't you? How about you clean it up? How about you take the tray out and run it under some water so my coffee doesn't taste like quiche when I try to heat it up? But oh, no. No, it's the workplace. It's not your home. It's the workplace. Thus, we get to do whatever we want. Well, I have these same feelings about the bathroom. And I walked in last year, and I was right behind Dawson.
Dude.
And there wasn't anyone else in the men's bathroom. And he walked right past the two open urinals, and he walked right into the stall, and he closed the door. And I walked in right behind him, and I helped myself to a urinal because I had to go number one. and I could see his raggedy Vans underneath. And I could just see the cankles hanging out because he was wearing the shants. And I said, Dawson, your feet are facing the wrong direction. Seems like you're going number one in there. And he said,
dude.
That's right. And I said, Dawson, let me ask you one simple question.
Dude.
Is that toilet seat up or is it down?
I waited for you, man.
And he took about a 15 Mississippi, which to him felt like a 2 Mississippi because he was bay. And he said, the seat is down. It is not up. And I said, Dawson, you walked past 2 open urinals to go into the place where people sit down and make their business, and you didn't even have the common courtesy or the dignity to lift the seat. Well, that,
my friend,
is the personification of selfish. You are putting your whiz where my ass is going to be someday. And you know how much I hate that, T. So, Dawson, you and I can never truly be friends. Oh, we can pass each other in the halls. We can give knowing nods. We can make promises about lunches that'll never happen. But we can never truly be soulmates. You sicken me. Now, back to the bong room.
Until next time.
Hold on a second.
This week.
Oh, what an ass.
In rage.
I hope you're happy that you won't be invited to this year's Avocado Fest. I hope you're happy.
I waited for you, man.
You know what? That's it. That's it for you. Mr. Mallon, we don't know if he's dead or alive.
Hopefully all the years of working around the toxic plastics have ravaged his body.
Yeah, but only the good
diet. And he was claimed by cancer.
No, they've made him impervious to pain.
Hmm.
He'll never die.
And again, I know it seems kind of harsh to say these things about an old guy who may be alive or dead, but F you.
By the way, you may be shocked to find this, but I took shop. We had to take shop at my school. I took electric shop, wood shop, metal shop, drafting 1 and 2. But in electric shop, I had an evil teacher. And in wood shop, I did. And I was the only girl in the class. And he wanted to stress that I should always put my hair up. Mm-hmm. When using drills.
Get caught in the drill
right.
press.
So he took this styrofoam head and he put a brunette wig that looked just like my hair to show the class I was the only girl.
Was it pregnant?
Yeah.
It was just very chubby.
Yeah. You don't want to know what he did to it when he took it home that night.
And then he, you know, used the drill in there and got the hair caught and it flung across the room.
Hey, Strasser.
Yeah.
How's that dreidel coming? You're on your 26th dreidel. Jesus Christ, baby. Can't make a cigar box or something? How about a birdhouse, for Christ's sake? And no, not in the shape of a dreidel. Now get busy.
That birdhouse dreidel combo was so beautiful.
I had a little birdhouse. Yes, I went to Walter Reed Junior High. I had Mr. Gage for metal. He was an a-hole. I had Mr. Mallon for plastic. He was an a-hole. I had Mr. Martin for wood. He was an a-hole. Mr. Mendez taught printing. He was a super a-hole. I never had him. Every teacher knew all, I mean, every student just knew it. It's like, oh, you have Mr. Mallon? I feel sorry for you. He's such an a-hole. These guys were all a-holes. The shop teachers especially, because they didn't get in it to help any kids. They got into it because there were contractors who got strung out on Vicodin and got thrown off the job site too many times, so they did the only thing they could do. But they took it out on the kids. F you guys.
I agree.
Thank you. All right, when we come back. Joel McHale was supposed to be part of the show, but Joel McHale's wife is having some cramps or something. She's pregnant.
Yeah, I think she's pretty pregnant.
He's having to go back home and pick her up and take her to the hospital. Maybe she can get an interview with Brittany.
You think she's going to Cedars?
Yo, Gabba Gabba.
Would it be rude to ask?
I think it'd be perfectly
appropriate. I mean, they're there anyway.
Yes, her husband's in entertainment. So, McHale will not be on the show, but don't worry. I'm going to be, I should say we are going to be giving out some New Year's resolutions. Now, this is something we thought about pretty close to the New Year. You know, it struck me that you guys who think of your own New Year's resolutions, I don't know if I like that. I think you should be assigned them. That's pure. You know, I mean, you should have somebody come up to you, size you up, talk to you, find out what you're doing and where you're living and how it's going, and then assign you a resolution. It's too easy for you to make your own.
I like that. Like when you have to grade your own paper.
Right.
Give yourself an A, but you didn't deserve an A.
Right. We'll decide if your paper deserves an A. 866-901-ADAM. Call us, and T, we'll make a custom New Year's resolution for you.
I like it.
Do it next.
Employee of the Week. This week's employee is a motivator and a leader, knowing how to get the best out of the staff with strong role modeling, gentle encouragement, and positive reinforcement. This person is truly the torchbearer of Martin Luther King, Gandhi, and Winston Churchill. This week's Employee of the Week is... Once again, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, hell yeah. In your face, underlings. That's right.
It's my New Year's resolution to win just one of these.
Don't hold your breath, Baldy. Hey, baby, if you're listening, move the Pulitzer and the Heisman aside. I got another trophy to put up on the mantle.
I imagine you need a room just for your Employee of the Month awards alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you win it every month, every week.
Oh, I don't even put them up anymore. I got them floating around in my car, my RV, my boat. They're all over the place. Yeah. I have it mounted on the windshield of my Lamborghini. I'm not pompous. I'm realistic. All right. Where were we? Ah, that's right. We want you to call us, 866-901-ADAM, and we're going to make your New Year's resolution for you. That's the way it should be. Should be like, you know, they have that Secret Santa thing?
Yeah.
They have that with resolutions. Someone else tells you what you have to stop doing or start doing. It'd be horribly insulting, and you have to do it. We'll do it for you. But first, I want to play this clip I heard this morning watching CNN. I could barely believe my ears. It was about 5:15 this morning. I was watching CNN's morning show. The anchor, John Roberts, threw it to a guy who was out in the field. They're talking about weather, and this guy was out in like a, you know, blizzard. And he threw it to him, and listen to this comment he made.
10 feet of snow expected in some areas. Our Reynolds Wolf is in the middle of it. He is in Truckee, California. Reynolds, what's it like there right now? I mean, you are f***ed up this morning.
What?
I almost dropped my ego.
The cussing can stop.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, of course, we had to beep it out, but it got right by.
It got by?
Well, listen again.
10 feet of snow expected in some areas. Our Reynolds Wolf is in the middle of it. He is in Truckee, California. Reynolds, what's it like there right now? I mean, you are f***ed up this morning.
I appreciate his candor.
Was he trying to say that the correspondent out in the weather looked...
He was saying it's 5:30 in the morning. It's dark outside. It's, you know, 20 below with the wind chill factor. You're standing in the middle of a blizzard. Come on, buddy. I just call it like I see it.
He looked effed up.
I appreciated the guy's candor.
Maybe that guy should make a resolution not to drop F-bombs on CNN in the morning.
Ass kicker.
That's a very, very, very good segue. Hey, Victor.
What's up, Adam?
What's happening, Victor?
Morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Victor.
Victor, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I was the guy that did the knock bong the first year.
The eggnog bong with Def Rat guy. So you're a heavy set guy?
Yeah, you can say that. Mm-hmm.
And some of your vices are what?
I like to play poker.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go out drinking with the guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What else? That's pretty much it, man.
All right. I was thinking a lot of crossword puzzles in pen.
You drink a lot. Now, do you smoke? Do you do any drugs?
No, I don't. You know what? I like to pop a Vicodin every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
I like Victor already.
I know this sounds counterintuitive, but I'm going to say start smoking.
Ah.
Spending a lot of time eating and not enough time smoking. Now,
you drop some weight.
Yeah, how old are you, Victor?
I'm 25.
You're 25. You smoke the cigarettes. Now, I'll tell you what'll kill you fat. How much do you weigh, Victor?
280.
Ooh. 280. And as I remember, you're about 5'6".
No, I'm like 6'1".
All right. But 280. All right, hang on, Victor. T.
Yeah.
Dig this. The guy's 25 years young. he says 280. That means 300 pounds. What's going to kill him faster?
The eggnog that's in his veins.
That's right. The cholesterol is going to get him before the nicotine does. Do you know what I'm saying?
It does cut your appetite.
You
smoke a little.
First off, chicks dig it because they know you mean business.
Of course.
Secondly, the pound shed away. Thirdly, if you're going to play poker, you might as well smoke. There's nothing else to do.
You get that gravelly voice from the smoking.
That's right. You sound like your voice was poured out of a Crown Royal sack.
Smoking sucks.
Now, usually people quit
smoking. Shed the weight. Yeah, but they got all kinds of drugs and things now. You smoke for 5 years. You hear about all these people that smoke for 20 years. They quit. They're fine. You start smoking. You shed the pounds. You're still 30. They have all kinds of drugs on the market by then. You quit your smoking. You've lost the weight. T, what do you say?
Well, you know,
thank you.
It's difficult to quit
Loretta?
Smoking at home.
Hello?
Yeah, but they have all kinds of drugs by then.
I'm saying maybe it's difficult to start. You know, some people don't like the feeling of nicotine going into their lungs. Victor will be fine.
Loretta?
Yes.
How old are you?
34.
34. What do you do for a living?
I'm a consultant.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good gig.
I think consultants mainly just go and fire people.
I know.
Tell the company who to fire.
I think this is a euphemism. I think she just talks to her cats all day.
She consults with Mr.
Use the litter box. Mr. Socks, use the litter box. I'm telling you as a professional, my professional opinion, you should stop chasing that yarn.
Mittens, my thoughts are you should maybe scratch your fleas with your left paw and get at them better that way.
Hey, Loretta.
Yes.
What is the topic that you consult on?
IT.
Ah.
IT. Okay. And what else do you do besides consult?
Well, I call because I need a resolution because I do too much partying and I spend too much money and I go out all the time and I eat too much, drink too much, smoke too much, and spend too much.
All right, Loretta. Dr. Drew would never agree with me on this when it would come up on Loveline all the time, but I would always preach moderation. I would always say that, this is that song where he says all that stuff, right? What I would say is when you're leaving the house, for instance, leave your cigarettes at home. Smoke one when you get home, but just leave them at home. When you go out.
I already do that, actually.
All right.
When I leave for work. But when I go out, I take them. You know?
Right. And you go out drinking a lot. Here's the real question. Yeah. Are you an alcoholic? Are you a whatever-aholic? Do you need to stop cold turkey or can you moderate? Because
I think I can moderate.
The first move is moderation. And here's why you all have to moderate. Because if you can't moderate,
you
then
have
you
quit.
Have to quit.
And that's awful.
Listen, I feel the same way about my beloved medicine, my red wine. I'd like to have me a glass of red wine right now. I really would. But if I did, I'd have to quit because I'd be drinking in the morning. So I wait until noon and then I get loaded. No, I wait until the evening. That was the way I did it. I would never touch, you know, the aforementioned love line. I would never have a drink of red wine until 12:30 at night when I got home. And then I would drink like I was an alcoholic until 2 a.m., but never before then. Thus, I never had to quit. So the question for you...
a binge drinker to me.
Wow.
No, one person's moderation is another person's binge.
Thanks, Mrs. Pot. You have anything else to say to Mr. Kettle?
Seriously, you are an alcoholic.
She's calling you a binge drinker.
How about you hire a consultant to learn how to talk to radio show hosts? Loretta, I would say whatever it is you're doing, the eating... Maybe you're eating too much. The smoking, you're smoking too much. The boozing, you're boozing too much. Here's my New Year's resolution for you. All of it goes down 25%. 25. That's it.
Okay.
If you're smoking 20 cigarettes a day, you're now going down to 15. And if you're having 3 highballs a day, oh, Christ, I screwed myself on that one. You go down to 2.2765. Now, if you're drinking 4 drinks a day, go down to 3. Do you know what I'm saying?
Bring
it all down 25%. Don't play stupid. You know what 25% is. I'm not saying half. I'm saying 25%.
Does she go from four cats to three?
That's right. Do you think you could handle that, Loretta?
I think I can. Thanks for the resolution, Adam.
And if you can't, this time next year, although we'll probably not be on the air, but this time next year, if we were on the air, I would have to tell you, you're going to have to quit everything. And then you'd be miserable. All right?
And it wouldn't happen.
All right. 25%.
Happy New Year, Loretta.
You got a last one you want to talk to?
Yeah.
Who do you like?
I like David.
Oh. You won on a technicality, baby. Wait a minute. Which David?
The one on line six.
All right. We'll talk to him. David?
Yes?
What's your situation?
Oh, I'm horrible, man.
What's going on?
I'm a 24-year-old construction worker, and I like to smoke, I like to drink, and I don't know, my girlfriend works nights, so I like to get on the computer and look at porn.
Mm-hmm. Wow, she's not there.
Right.
And you're just left alone with your porn box, your booze, and your smokes, right?
Yeah. Ganja, I don't smoke the nicotine.
David, how long, I'll try not to get too graphic here, but how long do you spend on the computer each night approximately?
Just enough time.
Just
so
enough.
So 2 to 5 minutes?
No, you got to find what you want, and then, you know, how is this a good one or not, and then you find a good one. So, you know, half hour most. Smoking and watching TV.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not a Jew.
Mm-hmm. You know what guys talk about cruising for porn on the internet? They round down like women do with their weight.
How many hours do you spend looking at porn?
3-4 a night.
And that means?
Just put a couple zeros 9, behind it. 3,400 hours. Yeah. It's here's what I would say about let me give all guys this tip. I've been there, my brother. You know what happens? You pop on the computer, you hop on some site, you start looking around, and the next thing you know, you see the leaves changing color and falling to the ground, and then the calendar pages going by. I grow a full beard, a full white beard. You see the candle starting to melt down. Before you know it, there's just a skeleton with his right hand in its lap, his left hand on a mouse covered with cobwebs, like some pirate ship. They find me in there.
Archaeologists come in.
Yeah, it's like that National Treasure movie. Nick Cage finds a skeleton of the Ace Man masturbating
in front
of a Tandy.
What kind of species it is? Is it a Homo erectus? Or what is this?
Right and right. Both. The point is if, guys, if you're going to do this in front of the computer, I'm giving you 12 minutes. Get going.
Time yourself.
Your computer has a clock in the upper right hand, whatever, right?
Yeah.
You know what time it is. 12 minutes from the time you check
in. From start to finish, because you got to get on YouPorn, and then you got to decide, what do I want? There's so much. What kind of porn? Girl, guy,
Brian,
oral,
don't lie to me.
What do I need?
In college, that was good for a hat trick, right? 12 minutes is plenty of time.
Yes.
You don't realize.
Really?
Yes. You don't realize, T. You don't know. You don't realize, like, you could walk out to your car and walk back in here and it would take 41 seconds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not 5 minutes. 12 minutes is plenty of time for guys. Guys learn fast. See, guys have roommates and they have stepmoms and you know what I'm saying? We're not like you chicks where you got to just settle into the bathtub and think about some guy who doesn't have a face. Do you know what I mean? It's not a Harlequin romance.
You're not going to wine and dine yourself.
There's no candles being lit. We don't pour ourselves a glass of sherry and put these salts in the tub and then just lay down. It's that there's no Calgon take me away. We most guys can do it in a full sprint. you know they do that thing where they talk about how the American Indian could fire like 15 arrows every 10 seconds riding bareback on the back of a horse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he had to.
That's how white guys are with masturbation.
Fast
I could squeeze two off with my right hand in a cast in a church bathroom during an earthquake. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay. 12 minutes is plenty enough. Who
so you're giving
to?
David 12 minutes from the time he logs on to the time he gets off.
That's right. Hey, David?
Yes.
Now, I know you have other issues. I know you're smoking. I know you're boozing and what have you. You're 24. You're fine. Right. Just keep that in check. Don't spin out. But when you go on to the porn site, you have 12 minutes.
That's my New Year's resolution. I got you.
All right. And what happens is you finish and you go, oh. Because when you go 2 hours and then you finish, you're disgusted at yourself. You're like, oh, my God. I could have built a ship in a bottle.
You can't build up that much shame in 12 minutes, right?
No rollover minutes, too. You can't go like 8 minutes. Like, oh, next time I got 16.
You don't save them up.
No rollover minutes in this plan.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Now, if you spend 2 hours and then you're extra disgusted with yourself, are you just prolonging it for those 2 hours and moving around from site to site?
It is, you know how you guys have foreplay?
Yeah.
It's kind of that. It's the, it's like the previews before the main event. It's like a dinner that has 25 courses to it. You're waiting to get to that steak, but meanwhile you're just filling up on sherbet and other things. Sherbet. Here's the thing. You masturbate fine, but when you've wasted, you know, the evening masturbated, you feel
wasted.
Like crap. Well, you know what I'm saying.
You spent. Look back and eat spent, yes.
Right.
And you think, what have I done with my night?
That's what you think. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. ESPN's Chris Fowler is coming on the show next. He's from College Game Day. You guys watch that show. Hey, the big bowl games. Well, I've been watching almost all of them. They've been exciting. Big games coming up. Well, what game's tonight? Is there another game tonight?
No, the big game, the next big game is the national championship game.
Yeah, Monday?
Yeah.
Good times. We'll talk a little pigskin with Chris Fowler next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, and now the host of ESPN's College Game Day, Chris Fowler, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's bowl season. We should talk a little college ball. Chris Fowler?
Good morning, sir.
Great to speak to you.
I'm a big fan. You don't know how many times I've wanted to call the other radio show I used to do with Dr. Drew and just, you know, just rap about girl trouble or...
Well, can we help you with anything,
some
Chris?
Some store that I had that I couldn't get, you know, things like that. But we can stay off that today. No, we can talk football today.
Ray Corso gave him a hickey when they were on the road and he wanted to know how to get rid of it.
No more secrets.
ESPN College Game Day. Wow, this has turned into a bit of a phenomenon. You guys going from campus to campus and all the kids holding up the signs and going nuts. It's kind of cool, isn't it?
We like the slow burn. We started doing it at 93 and had to convince management this was a good idea, and it's just been a natural fit, and it's kind of grown. And yeah, I mean, nobody had any idea this thing was going to grow to a show where, you know, 10,000-15,000 people would show up outside or in a parking lot and you know, hungover, body painted, half in the bag with signs, sleeping out, you know, giving chunks of their life to, like, you know, secure FaceTime behind our set, because it's got to be more than listening to us the reason for making that big commitment. But we have a blast. I mean, all these years of doing it, and it never gets old because you get the, you know, live juice behind you.
What is, in your opinion, without alienating any of the fine universities or colleges, but what's your favorite place? Where's your favorite campus to go?
Well, I mean, it's not because they're the craziest people behind us. I mean, every place is kind of different, and people who watch the show maybe think, the background could just, the colors change, but the vibe is the same, and that's not true. You go to certain places, I mean, Texas A&M has a special kind of vibe, and Virginia Tech has always been that way for us, even before the season opening show we went this year, which was a whole different kind of setting behind us, obviously. But, you know, then you go to the palaces of football in the South and in Florida, and they're extra crazy there. So I'm not copping out, Adam. I really don't have one thing. I mean, the variety is what makes it good. I mean, there's certain places where the fans are tougher on us than others. Michigan's a tough spot because, you know, they hassle Herb Street for his Ohio State roots and Corso for his Big Ten resume. And,
yeah,
and so we'll get harassed more places up in the Big Ten than other places.
People from Southern California and other places where they have other things going on other than football do not realize that when you go to Nebraska, that's what it's about. I mean, we have UCLA and USC out here, and they're both fine schools, and they both have good programs, but you don't go... There's, you know, you don't go walking through LAX and see a whole bunch of UCLA and Trojan banners everywhere.
No, but you know what? We go out there, and the show is damn early on the West Coast. I mean, we're always flattered and shocked that people show up at the Coliseum as early as they do. We're on at 7 o'clock L.A. time, and we went up to Eugene twice this year, and the people at Oregon showed up in the dark. It was dark for the first hour of the show, and
it's
cold. Yeah, we hear the ducks quack. You could hear them more than see them. And
by the way, Eugene is Chris's boyfriend's name. Yeah. He's not talking about when he says I went up to Eugene and it was dark.
Is this what you wanted to talk to Adam about?
No,
you and Eugene.
Just, yeah, but there was like Cali green wafting in the air. It was a different experience up there, Eugene, for us.
Well,
it was very it was you knew you were in the Northwest.
Let's talk a little championship LSU versus Ohio State. That's Monday night at 5 p.m. You're going to be covering it up. You'll be up in the booth, right, Chris Fowler?
Well, we're going to be on the. We do the pregame show, and then Fox, we get it set aside, and Fox has the BCS contract for better or worse. But we kind of do the table setting and then do the postgame for it.
Now, when are you guys going to be setting the table? And when should we
7
tune
o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, you know, at the Superdome, outside the Superdome, because they don't let us in the doors until the game starts. But, yeah, we'll be outside, and I imagine there'll be some Ohio State and LSU fans wandering by on their way in
a full hour
before the game.
What do you think about those who say these guys, these athletes, should be compensated?
Well, I mean, you do feel like they should share a little bit more in the gravy train of this sport. How you do it, it's a long discussion. If you give them money, you really ought to give all athletes money. It's hard to figure, why football players should make their commitment. Swimmers don't get any money. I mean, I think that you'd be out of it, you'd have all kinds of lawsuits and the big mess. And
well, I mean, how about this? I mean, in terms of quieting those people down, how about a little profit sharing? I mean, the swim team and the girls volleyball team probably doesn't make as much money as the football program. And the football program, I don't know how many millions it is for some of these big schools, but they bring in a ton of dough, right?
Have you ever been involved in any project where you're supposed to get a piece of the profits?
Well, that's true.
Back end never comes.
I think it's a very creative account.
That's right.
Points.
I sit at my mailbox every day and wait for that Man Show DVD box set check to come in, and it never shows up.
Profit sharing is an interesting concept when it comes time to actually share.
Right.
The profits tend to disappear. No, I hear what you're saying. I think that, especially in basketball, it's been disgusted me more in basketball, Adam, where, one guy could sell a bazillion jerseys and really lift a team, like Carmelo Anthony, maybe to a national title and raise the profile. And the value of his presence on campus, if you tabulated it, is just in the tens of millions of dollars to that university. And he's getting a scholarship, and that's it. On the other hand, he did 1 year at Syracuse and bolted to the NBA, so it was a very good showcase for his skills. And
yeah, I mean, one could argue he should be paying for that showcase. I was watching the game last night. I think it was Kansas and Virginia Tech. Kansas won the game, and there was a funny thing on the sideline, which is the coach, Mark Mangino, is literally, he's built like Uncle Fester's husky cousin.
Lose the weight, chubby.
I mean, Mangino, please stop me if I'm exaggerating, Chris Fowler, is 375 pounds if he's an ounce.
I'm not good at guessing weight, but Mark's a big man.
I would call him 5'9", 5'8", and 400 pounds.
Even his name sounds like a cheese.
He's got a 150-pound heart, though. He really
Mangino,
does.
No, that's what his wife is worried about. Yes, it's enlarged.
His wife's a lovely lady.
No, all I'm saying is he was on the sideline, and they had won the game, and there was about 30 seconds left in the game, and the players wanted to do the Gatorade dump on him, which I don't know. I'm not sure it's a great idea to see a guy have a stroke on the sideline after winning a bowl game, but the commentator, I can't remember who it was up in the booth, but he said something funny, which they were going, oh, there's his players. Oh, they got the Gatorade bucket. And the one guy leans in and goes, well, Mangino is not hard to find.
You know what? I mean, give dunk the whole, 7 Gatorade buckets on him because he does deserve it. When Mangino was an assistant in Oklahoma, I used to hear a story that he played racquetball with Bob Stoops, the head coach.
Holy.
That was just an interesting visual. He's a deceptive deceptive athlete, I'm told. He's pretty light on his feet.
He stands up and you're amazed. Hey, that's what's deceptive about him.
Look how agile.
It did remind me of the John Candy scene in Splash, right? Wasn't he playing racquetball?
Yes,
yes.
Yes, Mangino takes one to the forehead. Hey, Chris, we'll be watching on Monday. College game day, and all next year, by the way.
I don't know what kind of, I can't promise you these are the two best teams in college football, but the screwy system that we have, they have survived the system, and there they are. So somewhat randomly selected by
pollsters. Well, Chris, who should be there?
Equally flawed, yes.
Well, USC and Oklahoma could have made cases. West Virginia looks pretty good. I'm for a playoff, but you select two
You're
teams.
You're welcome, Brian.
You select two teams, and it's a joke that it comes down to the people's opinions.
Well, quickly, why no playoff if that's what everyone seems to want?
Because the power brokers and the Pac-10 and the Big Ten who have the Rose Bowl and are holding on a tradition and holding on to the bowl. The bowl system can exist. You can have all these other bowl games. They can exist. You can have fundraising. You can have the parades. You can raise the money for charity. You can have the 19-year-old selected as homecoming queen for the bowl and all that stuff. That can go on.
So you say it's a lot of old guys who are sort of set in their ways.
That's college football.
Do you think there'll be some turnover, though, at some certain point when those guys move out and there's newer blood?
Yeah, you get younger guys set in their ways.
Oh, okay.
Come in there.
All right.
No, I mean, I think eventually there will be a plus one, the next contract. But again, we move at a glacial pace in this sport. It's the
right.
most entrenched, you know, conservative thing in the world.
And, yep. But they're getting,
it's just the way it is.
They're getting fast on the field, and that's the important thing.
Yes,
Chris,
they are.
Chris Fowler, thank you. Come in and see us when you come out here to do SC or UCLA next
I'll
year.
I'll do it. Happy New Year, guys.
Good times, my
give
brother.
Give Eugene a kiss.
Yeah, Chris Fowler, ESPN College Game Day, great show. All right, we'll take a break, and boy, we're going to shift some gears. Turns out Joel McHale is going to make it in.
Oh,
he
wow.
Dumped his wife off at the hospital, and he's prioritizing.
Are you serious?
Yo, Gabba Gabba.
No.
He's going to come in. That'll be the break after this one that's coming. The one that's coming is something I've wanted to talk about for a while. Everyone's been talking about it. I haven't weighed in on it. This whole waterboarding thing.
Torture.
People, I think most folks who listen to the show aren't even sure what the technique is. We hear people arguing over, is it torture? Isn't it torture? I will play you some clips, and I will tell you in detail what the technique of waterboarding is and how it works, and then we'll discuss next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Stop dealing. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Port St. Lucie, Florida. A 44-year-old known as Cobra Man was hospitalized for over 2 weeks after being bitten by an Eastern Diamondback rattlesnake. This was his 44th venomous snake bite. Definitely not a Jew.
All right, I want to talk a little waterboarding. It's something that's been all over the news. We never really got into it. It pops up all the time. Lots of controversy. Struck me that I knew the term and I knew the general parameters of it, but I didn't know exactly how it went. I saw a video of how it went, and when I was done masturbating, I said, okay, now I know. No. Please, I would never.
I knew you liked the water sports.
Yeah, well, part of it, if you listen to how it goes, does sound like the beginning of a horrible video that someone would send you. But I'll let the guys from CNN describe it, and then I'll tell you what I saw.
So describe for us what waterboarding actually is.
With waterboarding, you have a person laying on a table or on a gurney with his feet slightly higher than his head. There's a material, a sort of a cellophane-like material around the face, and there's a bladder or a water source above the head with water pouring down on the mouth. So no water is going into your mouth, but it induces a gag reflex and makes you feel like you're choking.
Is the person actually drowning or just feels like they're
drowning? No, it just feels like you're drowning.
Okay, now T.
Yeah.
If I gave you the choice between actually being tortured or thinking you were going to die being tortured, which would you choose?
Well, I think the problem with waterboarding and why it's widely considered to be torture and why the Geneva Convention prohibits it is that you feel the feeling that you're drowning and actually drowning are the same, except in one you die and one you don't.
Right. But one lasts 30 seconds and one lasts a lifetime. And let me start off by telling you guys where I'm at. First off, torture, whether something meets the definition for torture or not, and that's a very loose definition.
Right.
Because depending on what your religious beliefs are, if a woman exposes herself to you in the right way, that can be considered torture. So torture to me is like rape. The definition is so broad now that we could all fall under it. Do you know what I'm saying? It used to be rape was rape. There was a simpler time.
It's so confusing
back
now. A husband can rape you.
When your grandfather was a rapist, it was a
those
different...
Those were the days.
It was a
someone
more
would jump out of an
time.
Alley and you knew it was a rape.
Rape was rape. Now,
date
the
rape.
Guy you're married to 18 years rolls over drunk on top of you in the middle of the night and it's rape. Do you know what I'm saying? Torture used to be easily defined. Someone would have to take some pliers or some electrodes to you. Now, everything is torture. Now, here's where I come down on torture. If you have some information that is going to save a person's life, then I'm all for it. I don't mind. I hope I'm torturing the right person. But if I think there's 10 people that can be saved by torturing your one ass, I'm all for it. And I'm not into that slippery slope thing or what kind of society do you want to live in. I look at it the same way I look at the death penalty. If you think it's a good idea to go into a dorm filled with 19-year-old nursing students and systematically rape and kill 8 of them, then I want you dead. And I don't think that makes me a bad person. Ah, quite the contrary. I think it makes me a good person. And when people do that, I don't want to live in a society that kills that person. I don't want to live in a society that doesn't kill that person. And if somebody gets abducted or my kids and wife are at the mall and there's a bomb that's going to be planted at the mall and there's a terrorist attack that's planted on the mall and they have somebody that could tip off the CIA as to where the bomb is, I don't want to live in the kind of society that is scared to torture that guy to find out where the bomb is so my kids don't get blown up at the mall. It's pretty simple for me. Now, this waterboarding sounds like the best of all worlds because I don't like the idea of taking pliers to anyone's fingernails any more than you do, but I do like that idea of them giving up information and not suffering any long-term physical harm.
Let me ask you this.
Hmm.
Let's discuss the quality of the information you get out of a guy who feels like he's drowning. You're going to say anything to stop the feeling of drowning.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell the truth?
I understand there's always that argument, which is, well, what are you going to do? Maybe he gives it a whatever. Well, I put this under the same thing I do when I talk about immigration in this country. And someone goes, well, how about we build a wall? Please, that's not going to work. Well, how about we take the National Guard and put them at the bottom? Please, that's not going to work. I know everyone has ideas why nothing's going to work. And it's the same when you talk to the Republicans. How about we have cars that get better fuel mileage? Oh, that's not going to work. Or how about we do solar energy? Oh, please, you know, that's not going to work. Yes, maybe it's not going to, but it might. And it's better than doing nothing. Somebody has information. We want it. They won't give it up. And we force them to give it up. Now, is it the right information? I guess we'll find out. It's better than no information in my mind.
How about making our soldiers vulnerable to this kind of torture from other countries? That's why we have the Geneva Convention to protect them.
First off, do you know what other countries do to our soldiers once they capture them?
Well, how do we retain an ounce of moral authority if we're torturing...
Our guys would pray that this is all they did, a simulated drowning. It would be the best day ever. Do you understand? We're so naive in this country. It's not that long ago, but I'll go back to the past. World War II, our captured soldiers were animals. They were pack animals. They worked them until they died. They worked them in slave camps until they died. They considered them lower than human beings because they were cowards, because they gave up and they surrendered, and thus they deserve no mercy. The Germans did it. The Japanese did it. Don't get me started on Vietnam and God knows what the Middle East does when they capture our guys. So if all they do is some sort of humane way of torturing that seems like torture, but it's really not torture, and then they argue about it on their news programs until everyone's blue in the face, they should pray that this happens to them. Chad, by the way, F-18 pilot.
Yes, sir.
Nice job, buddy.
Thanks, man.
F-18 is, wait, I'm thinking about the F-14 Tomcat. That's not the one with the wings that has the variable telemetry. You got the F-18. Boy, that's a sports car.
Yeah, it is. It truly is, man. I actually fly the Super Hornet, which is the newer model. It's bigger, a little bit bigger engines, bigger payload, all that good stuff.
Do the Blue Angels fly the F-18?
They do. They fly the Legacy Hornet, which is just the kind of the first model of the Hornet that came out back in 1980.
Yeah. Oh, that is a nice ride. What's the top speed on that Super Hornet?
About Mach 1.8. You've got to be pretty high up, pretty slicked off as far as no stores or drop tanks or anything like that. You can get there, but it doesn't sustain for very long. You're just going to run yourself out of gas because you're going to be in the afterburner so long.
So 1.8 is well over 1,000 miles an hour.
Yes, it is.
Nice.
Chad, where do you stand on waterboarding?
Well, I just want to throw my two cents in there. I think it is a necessary...
Turn and burn.
Tool,
yes.
I guess, but I was waterboarded when I went to SEER school, which is essentially POW
school. Great college. Oh, POW school. That's got to suck.
Yeah, what's the mascot? Scab?
That's a guy with a blindfold, emaciated guy with a blindfold on.
He runs out and does a dance.
Guy who reads a prepared statement. Hold on. The mascot's reading a prepared statement.
He's blindfolded. This is a great game. I pray for freedom for all the athletes.
As a pilot, knowing that you could get shot down and knowing that you could get captured by the enemy, you have to go to school for it.
Yes, you do. You go through, it's called SEER school. It's essentially POW school. You do some survival skills and some evasion. Once you get captured, they start interrogating you, and you honestly feel like you're in the middle of Kosovo. It's essentially about 70 miles away from San Diego up in the hills. But, you know, they've got machine guns. Of course, they're firing blanks, and, you know, they've got this foreign accent, and then they start, you know, holding a gun up to your head and start, asking you questions right there on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you essentially don't give them the answers that they want, i.e. you don't honor the gun, and just kind of give them information that's, you know, may or may not be classified. But anyway, if you hold out on them, their punishment for you for not giving them the info is they give you the waterboard, which they set you, you know, on a gurney, essentially, and they set it on a decline. So your head is essentially about 5 inches above, or I'm sorry, below the level of your feet.
Right.
They strap you down, put a wet wash rag over your eyes and nose, and then just start pouring water over your mouth and until you essentially feel like you're right on the brink of death. And I've never felt so close to death. And you feel like you're going to freaking drown. It sucks.
Yeah. So
would you describe that as torture?
At the time, yeah.
Well, look, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Well, first off, why do we get hung up on the word torture? My entire teen years I could describe as torture.
Mine too, and it was barbaric, and you could possibly
look, if again, I don't care what you call it, Chad, you bear no scars from this water boarding, right?
No,
you're
that's correct.
You're in one piece. You understand what happened. It was effective. To me, it's the best kind of torture. Do you ever see those movies where the mob kingpin guy goes up and he finds the guy owes him money and they're up on the 35th floor of the guy's apartment building, and so one of his henchmen hangs him over the balcony and they hold him by the feet, and then they do that shot where they see the traffic going underneath it, and the guy's like, no, I'll tell you where the money's hidden. And I go, smart move, and they pull him back up on the balcony. Well, that's torture. That could be considered torture, but yet the guy's alive and the guy has his information. Isn't that what you want? Yes, this is
what if
what
I told
Shug
you?
Suge Knight did too. Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
Now add.
Hey, Chad.
Answer Aunt Pam. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, my brother.
Hey, huge fan of the show. I listen every day, and if I can, I podcast it. So you guys,
I got to tell you, you know, it'd be a nice tip of the cap to me, and a nice tip of the cap to the Iron Eagle series I'm sure you've seen through the 80s. You load the Ace Man and tee up onto your iPod. Next time you climb aboard that F-18 Super Hornet, you know, when you get out of the range of the air traffic controller guy, you pop in the earbuds and you listen to my smooth, velvety tones while you're going 113 miles an hour on the taxpayer's dollar. I'm a gay man. What is going on? Meehaw! Meehaw?
Wait, is this against the Geneva Convention? I think it might be.
Can we move forward? Thanks, Chad.
I like like Chad.
Good times.
That's interesting that they have their, you practice being waterboarded, so you don't panic when it happens.
Well, I don't even know, I don't think you can stop yourself from panicking when it happens, even if it happens 100 times a day. I don't think you would ever get used to it. I think that's the whole point. You have a visceral reaction to it that you can't contain, and it can be done very quickly, because when somebody simulates drowning with you, it's not 10 minutes later you panicked, it's 30 seconds into it.
Yeah.
Now you go ahead and give your rebuttal, T, and then I'll tell you another story.
Okay, I'll say this. I'm with you. I like the idea of getting intel from people we capture to save lives. Who doesn't love that?
Right.
I like that. On the other hand, here's to me the most persuasive argument against waterboarding. McCain, who was himself tortured in Vietnam, is against waterboarding. He's come out against it. He says it's an exquisite torture and it shouldn't be done. The Geneva Conventions aren't just some quaint little thing we came up with. They're designed to protect our soldiers. I think it's barbaric, and I think that's why we, hopefully, that is one of the things we fight for.
But I'll get back to protect our soldiers. This will be the best part of their day if they're captured, the waterboarding time. Other countries, look, we're not going to battle with Sweden and Switzerland. We're going to battle with some nasty countries who do nasty things. They're old school. They, here's how they torture you. They duct tape your hands and feet together and they throw you off the roof. That's how they torture you. They really torture you. So we're trying to protect them from our version, our Lily White version of torture, when they have real torture over there. Ron?
Yeah, Adam.
What do you have to say?
Hey, man, I think your position on this is anti-American in that you endorse torture. I mean, we're supposed to be the moral guideline for the world and how we act in peacetime and wartime. And if you're going to condone the same actions that our enemies would do, that makes us no different from the enemies. And
I'm condoning what we call torture, but the rest of the world doesn't really see as torture.
Well,
except for when they're pointing a finger at us.
Okay, but you're playing a semantical game, Adam.
I think you guys are playing a game with semantics.
Okay, let me ask you a question. If somebody electrocutes you and you live, and somebody electrocutes you and you die, what's the difference?
Well, one, I get to do the radio show again, and the other, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank are filling in. Okay. No, that's the point. People aren't dying from this waterboarding, as far as I know. Now, not that it would make the front of the USA Today if they were. To me, this is win-win. You see, I'm not a bad guy. I want the information. I don't want the permanent scarring. I don't want anyone to get their fingers cut off with vice grips. I want the information. I don't want to physically harm the person. This is win-win. In 03, by the way, they did the waterboarding on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, one of the masterminds of 9/11. He wouldn't talk. 30 seconds into it, he talked. And actually, it was one of his men who talked, and we found him. Isn't that worth it? 30 seconds of this guy thinking something bad is going to happen to him? Now, I know I'm painting over it a little bit, making it easier than it is. But the world is a serious place, and it's a dangerous place. These guys aren't screwing around. They know something. We want to know it, and we're going to find it out, and we're going to find it out in a way where they get to live and they're not scarred. What's wrong with that? You want to call it torture? Fine. Call it torture.
If no permanent damage means it's not torture, what if I were to say to you, I'm going to kill your whole family. I've just killed your whole family.
Mm-hmm.
What if I were to hold a mock execution? Mm-hmm. Nobody was really executed. What about, you know, Americans were up in arms during the first Gulf War when they captured U.S. soldiers and forced them to make statements. All they were forced to do was talk and make a statement that the invasion was illegal. We were up in arms over that as being torture.
Right.
They weren't hurt permanently. They had to make a statement.
Right. But that was under the threat of death. That was not under the threat of simulated death.
But they weren't killed.
Right.
They're still alive.
Right. Well, look, that's my point. And it's your point, too. What I'm saying is war's not pretty. We're dealing with people that think it's a good idea to recruit 14-year-old girls, put explosive vests on them filled with bolts and rusty nails, and have them go to a crowded pizza parlor.
Wait till they're 15.
This is not Marcus of Queensberry rules here. We're people who are into jungle warfare. They're not like the British all wearing red coats and marching in single file. it's on. It's game on. I have one other quick clip to play for you. This is from CNN. I think it was a couple days back. They're speaking to, Jesus, I should have written this down, one of the presidential candidates up there at the Iowa caucus, and here's his take on it.
When you said that sometimes human rights is more important than American national security, would you protect the rights of a terrorist if you knew that it could cost American lives?
I think you're asking the question about torture. Under no circumstances would I promote torture.
Right. See, here's the problem with this country. We're scared and we're turning into pussies. We make the statement, waterboarding's wrong, torture's wrong, and then the next question is, well, what if somebody had a bunch of information and you could save a couple of jet airliners from going into a couple commercial buildings, and then the guy has, now the guy's caught between a rock and a hard place, and he doesn't want to be a hypocrite, so he goes, no, torture's never okay. Of course torture's okay. It's a case-by-case basis. I mean, when you're watching a movie and the guy abducts the family and he buries them alive out in the desert, and then they catch him and Kiefer Sutherland is hitting the guy with his backhand when he's being interrogated and he's yelling, where are they buried? Do you mind if he beats him up a little bit? What's more important? This is a simulated torture. It's not even a real torture. It's a torture that you think is torture, but it's not torture. It's an amusement park torture.
Huh?
No, here's what's going on. When you go to amusement park, you go to the top of the roller coaster, yeah, and then you go down.
Log ride.
And every, it's a flume of fun. Yes, every part of your being says, oh my God, I'm free falling off a building, and then you, the ride stops and you get off.
You know it's a ride.
That's right.
So when you're being waterboarded, you know it's just...
You don't. You can't stop reacting to it. You have a visceral reaction to it. I'm just saying, A, I don't mind torture. B, I especially like waterboarding because it's a torture that doesn't leave any deaths or any scars. And C, it is game on with the terrorists, and who cares? They're not playing by Marcus of Queensberry. Fine. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Joel McHale is coming in here. Well, he's got 6 minutes to show up. The great Joel McHale from The Soup. If not him, then news, T.
If not him, then I'll tell you what's going on with Britney Spears. She's at Cedar Sinai as we speak.
We'll take a quick break. Back with one or the other.
The ranking of the top automakers. Shifting gears. We'll tell you who has speeded ahead of the competition.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, Joel McHale.
Yeah.
Better late than never.
Sorry about that.
The Soup on E.
We hope everything's okay, Joel.
Everything's okay.
How dare you!
I got a pregnant wife.
Mm-hmm.
We're, you know, getting close. So, we had a rough night last night.
When's the due date?
Due date is in March.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was telling you, Adam, my first son had open heart surgery. And when he was 2 months, he's 100%. He's great. He's the best thing ever. But, you know, you just don't want to. So now when things happen, you're like, what's going on? So
yeah,
we got a doctor's appointment today, everybody. We're going to go to it. It's going to be great. She's feeling fine.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have a son.
Yes, Eddie.
And do you have a daughter coming or a son coming?
Son.
Do you know or do you
another
care?
Another son, yes.
Good. I like that.
We're going to name him Sonny.
I don't like the part that it's a son. I just like the part that you're not weird about it.
I know.
Did you circumcise your kid, your boy?
Not myself, but I had a professional yeah. do it this time.
Are you wondering whether you should or shouldn't?
I feel like I could have one circumcised, one not.
Test case.
Just
see how they react to each
yeah.
other.
Interesting. Right. And then when you have the third son in 3 years, you just go with the upper foreskin removal.
Oh.
See?
Well, if it was a daughter, I would do the female circumcision.
Sure, tribal. It's a ritual over the McHale house. The McHales are tribal.
Little useless pieces of skin, we remove at any moment.
Yeah. I went ahead and did that, not for any good reason other than...
Matching daddy?
I've talked to a few girls who have said they've been freaked out by that, and my son is a Corolla. He's going to have a tough enough time getting laid. I don't need to add anything else to his palate.
Now, what if your son is an international traveler?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and in Canada, it's fine. Or
right,
you know.
Well, yeah, anywhere, really.
I don't ever think they're going to hold it against you. The foreskin can only be a negative. It's never a plus. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
I feel like if you went to Europe and your foreskin got lost in baggage, for instance, like it happened to me once.
You're kidding.
Always keep it in your carry-on.
I went to Spain, and my foreskin showed up 2 weeks later, and I had to claim it myself.
Oh. It must have been really stinky.
I didn't know where it was.
Stuck somewhere in a Spanish airport?
There was not enough Purell in Madrid to clean up that prepuce.
Yes.
What the hell is going on with this show? You got the news. Joel is going to sit in with the news, and then we're going to play the best clips from the soup circa 07. So let's start with the news, T-Bone.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
It was Republican Mike Huckabee and Democrat Barack Obama that came out on top in Iowa. Here is Barack Obama declaring victory in Iowa.
On this January night, at this defining moment in history, you have done what the cynics said we couldn't do. We are choosing hope over fear. We're choosing unity over division and sending a powerful message that change is coming to America.
I had a couple of thoughts. One is, as I said before, Iowa, 95% white.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Giving the nod to the brother.
Yeah. So a lot of honkies in here.
Joel counts as five white people.
I had two thoughts when I was watching CNN this morning when I heard Iowa was 95% white. First, I thought, that's good. We're not very racist. We gave the nod to the brother. And the second was, I wonder how much land is over there. Okay. Now, here's the only thing I'm worried about when Barack gets into the office. I'm sure he'll be fine. But what if the president... What if the Oval Office becomes like the NBA? Where it's like, hey, the brother did a great job. Now I got another brother who's going to do a good job. Oh. And next thing you know, 500 years goes by and it's all black
presidents. You think he's a gateway minority?
I'm just saying, look at the NBA. You know, 50 years ago, it was Bob Cousy and his buddies running around in silky shorts, a bunch of 5'8 guys running around doing a chest pass.
But think about it.
Huh?
Think about 50s and 60s, for the most part.
President LeBron.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I mean, come on. I'm just saying, slippery slope, people.
But white men sucked at basketball in the 40s and 50s.
That's what I'm saying.
And the game was dull.
So technically you could say the white presidents suck. So
I think Barack is going to do a great job. And then some other dynamic man of color.
Daryl
Dawkins.
Destroy a backboard.
Chocolate Thunder.
Swear him in, he's just going to...
Right.
You're concerned that he'll bring the triangle offense into our war.
Nobody understands that offense. That's the problem.
Yeah, we
have to bring Tex
Clyde Drexler or something comes in there, or A.C. Green, or one of these guys comes in there.
Latrell Sprewell would be great.
Sprewell.
He'd choke out the leader of Pakistan.
Comes in there. These guys, all of a sudden, unemployment's at all-time low. People are graduating high schools. The rest of the world loves us, or at least fears us appropriately, because the guy's, sleeved up and has got cornrows. And the next, 500 years goes by, it's nothing but black presidents.
I mean, you're so right. Look at Condoleezza, the way she conducts diplomacy. She just takes off her earrings and her shoes and threatens people to a street fight.
Then our great-great-great-grandchildren are living in a country where the newscaster comes on, and he's like, do you think America is ready for a white president? Do you think it's possible? And everyone's like, no way. Not going to chance it.
There's no downside to what you're saying.
There really isn't. I'm fine with it. I like Barack. I just wonder if Whitey can just say goodbye to the Oval Office. Seriously, Barack comes in. He does 8 kick-ass years. He just cleans house for 8 years. And when the next guy comes along, you'd be like, let's see if we, instead of the guy with the gin blossom whose dad's an oil man, maybe we get another brother in
George
there.
Bush doesn't care about black
I'm
people.
I'm only worried about Barack Obama because he has a tiny little head and a weird fat body. Look at his body.
All right. I will do it. T?
How about Mike Huckabee's body? You know, he's down 110 pounds.
What? Really?
Yeah. Yes.
And he thinks the Earth is 6,000 years old.
He was a super fat guy, and he's been able to lose weight.
He did the Subway commercials, no?
Here he is pandering to his new favorite state.
I wasn't sure that I would ever be able to love a state as much as I love my home state of Arkansas. But tonight, I love Iowa a whole lot.
He's going to say that about every state.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
I'm so gullible because I'm a militant atheist, and I saw this ex-Baptist preacher on Leno the other night, and I was like, I like him. Played the bass guitar.
He was adorable. He was adorable. Charming.
He made a bunch of jokes. Hey, T.
Yep.
Why don't you go ahead and tease your next story? I know we got the Britney Spears stuff. I don't know. People know about that. I got some other stories here. I want to know about the guy who fell off the skyscraper and lived. Or the guy that put out the fire with the XL pair of underpants.
I'll get to both of them.
The real news.
Are those, is that one story?
How about this one? By the year 2050, when we've had a string of successful black presidents, people will be having sex with robots?
That's what one author says.
From your mouth to God's robotic ears. We'll take a quick break. Joel McHale will hang with us, and then we'll hear some soup clips as well. All coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Joel McHale is in here from the soup.
Thank you for having me.
Funniest show on television, so says the billboard I passed with Joel's big mug on it every day on the way home.
They're finally promoting the show.
God bless you, Joel
McHale.
It's
a four-year. When you hit the three-year mark, then they start advertising for
the
show.
You've made it, my friend. On E, Fridays, 10 o'clock.
And we have our big last countdown. Half of the countdown specials, so we're counting down the greatest clips of the year.
Well, we'll hear some of those coming up in just a few, but T.
Yes.
The rest of the news, baby girl.
I know we all have Britney fatigue, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention, in as concise a way possible, Britney Spears had a standoff with police last night. It was 3 to 4 hours. She didn't want to give her kids back to her ex. She was taken away in an ambulance to Cedars-Sinai. She's being held there. Right now, Kevin Federline's attorney, Mark Vincent Kaplan, is about to address the press after today's emergency hearing regarding the custody of the kids.
Hold on.
Cops.
This is how every story now of those should be answered. And?
Moving on.
That's cops
it? What else?
Knew she was high when she yelled to the escape shuttle and then promptly stuffed herself into a garbage chute.
Reportedly, she was...
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
She was either on something or acting like she was.
Yes.
No telling what. And one of her little boys was also taken to the hospital. They are both now with their father safely.
You know, when you're a kid, though, an ambulance ride, that's pretty cool.
It's the greatest.
That's nifty.
I had
this
some
close to a fire truck.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they've seen so many police cars now that they must think that's part of their toys.
Yeah, and here's the deal. When you're transporting someone in an ambulance, it's happened to me, I think, once or twice in my life, at least once from a horrible football injury. Turn the rollers on. It's the least you could do. You know, they don't turn the rollers on the way back to the hospital if the guy's not going into cardiac arrest. If
that was Pop Warner.
Just some kid playing Pop Warner football, shoulder came out of socket. They don't put the rollers on. I'm saying, if you're going to go in the ambulance, come on.
Well,
keep on the rollers.
Well, it sounds like you should have freaked out.
I should have yelled freak out.
Yeah, and you should have started swinging at them, and they should have hit the...
Well, this is one of these things where it's like, hey, not good enough for the rollers? Come on now. Hit the toggle switch, buddy. And by the way, worst case scenario, what? We run a few red lights, get to the hospital 10 minutes earlier. Come on now. Sorry, T.
No problem. Now, on to important news.
Mm.
Like a fire that was put out with a pair of extra large underwear.
Mm-hmm.
This happened in London. A British woman's underwear saved the day by doubling as an emergency fire blanket when her kitchen caught fire.
She sounds hot.
They were frying bread in the kitchen.
This is international news.
Yeah.
She's a great big fat person.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you would think she was. Mm-hmm. This grease fire started in the kitchen, and a man grabbed a pair of powder blue size XL underpants, ran them under the faucet, tossed them onto the flames, and successfully smothered the fire. Mm. His quick thinking saved the kitchen, but scorched the XL underpants.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Wow. Yeah. International. That made it around the world.
There's more. See it from CNN.
Yeah.
How
that's
about this?
Slow news day. What else?
Here's another story, actually, out of England. A British author named David Levy has written a book called Love and Sex with Robots, The Evolution of Human-Robot Relationships. His vision of a new world, mm-hmm. by 2050, we will be creating robots so lifelike.
Mm-hmm.
That it will be worthwhile to have sex with them, and that 20 to 50% of us will be doing so.
Well, this is it, ladies. You're going the way of the dodo bird.
It's the last stand.
Yeah. I'll put my wife right next to the beta player in the closet. We're done,
obsolete.
Baby.
Totally obsolete.
That's some very sad news. Very sad news for the ladies. Once somebody figures that... And by the way, ladies, you better storm that lab just like some crazed... PETA member is going to some university in the middle of the night and freeing the animals. Baby, you better free them robots, because if he perfects the robot that you can have sex with, then you guys are yesterday's news.
Here's what I predict. The robots will take over for women, but there will be some brilliant women scientists who will be able to reprogram some of the robots to kill during sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like Black Widow? Mm-hmm.
It's part of my screenplay, actually. Would you like to be... in your movie, The Hammer, is there any... Do you have sex with any robots?
Three.
Wow.
Thanks for bringing it up, though. Hey, yeah. It's got to be weird, too. Then you marry the robot.
Well, that's what he's saying may happen, because he says that by the year 2050... you could create a machine with skin that feels human, with manual dexterity, and with a mind, like a human mind.
And no teeth.
Yeah. And by the way, let's not go with the human mind. Let's go up to, like, dolphin and stop.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that's the problem with the current edition of female robots. They have the mind put in them. Because, look, when you give them the full mind, eventually it's going to be like, hey, baby, how about I get some tonight? I'm on the rag. You're a robot. Battery acid flow.
Why go as high as dolphin?
How about a fern? Something like a...
Yeah, like a fern
plant.
Brain.
No, you don't want to go potted plant, because that's like... having sex with the Terry Schiavo or something.
Which
you want. Which
there will be available.
What you
a
want.
A robot will be the Schiavo edition.
You want to go.
I like the Schiavo 3000.
How about you go with like sea bass or something? You know what I mean? You don't go too high up.
Okay.
Do they have a sexual nerve?
That's like a compromise. Yeah.
Stay away from the primates.
It's somewhere between dolphin and fern.
Yeah. Giant sea bass. Giant grouper.
Okay.
Now, here's a happy story about a man who survived quite a fall.
Mm-hmm.
The death rate from even a three-story fall is about 50%.
I know. Ask Joel's dad. Oof. Fell off an A-frame ladder cleaning the gutters a few months back.
Yeah, what is he thinking?
Broke his pelvis.
And his sacrum.
Is he all right now?
Well, he's as all right as you could possibly be, given his circumstances. He's walking.
And he fell 8 feet. 12 feet?
Yeah, 12 feet about, onto concrete.
Bad times, but that's not even two stories.
Now imagine washing a window and falling 47 stories from the roof of a Manhattan skyscraper.
Wait, you lost me with washing the window. Imagine
I would have my robot whore do that.
Okay, go on.
Honey, can you perform oral and wash the windows?
A 37-year-old man plummeted.
Grouper. Put the genius away.
A 37-year-old man plummeted almost 500 feet December 7th. He fell off the scaffolding, and doctors are shocked that he's recovering. He has movement in all of his limbs. He's breathing on his own. And on Christmas Day, he opened his mouth and spoke for the first time since the accident.
And he said...
get me one of those dolphin robots.
We should bring him over to hang with your dad. And when your dad gets up off the recliner and he's like,
that hurts.
And the guy's like, what's the matter, Pops? Fell off an A-frame ladder nearly 9 feet. Interesting.
Yeah, that's 47 stories.
That's good. I got 47 stories. So call me in another 46 stories, okay, old man? And you want me to get you a beer?
You wouldn't.
Interesting.
My dad is already complaining about he's not recovering fast enough. And then, so that actually would be great.
You should bring him this story about, I hope I'm pronouncing his first name right, Alcides Moreno.
What did he hit on the way down?
Well, he was on a scaffolding, and it looks as though he just plummeted straight down.
No, he couldn't have just...
Yeah, he couldn't have landed on the sidewalk. He had to hit a whole series of awnings.
Yes.
Through them, yes, as they slowed down and then bounced off. Remember awning humor, people? Remember when you get thrown out of a building and you'd crash through all the awnings and then you'd bounce off the last one? There was a lot of awning
humor. And
then
humor. He landed on the passenger seat of either a convertible or in the back of a garbage truck.
That's right.
There's no way.
There's no way he landed on the sidewalk.
Almost terminal velocity.
Unless... he's a bumble, because they bounce. Is he a Mexican bumble? El Bumbleino?
Mr. Moreno, you might assume, but I can't be sure about that. What I do know is that he had 9 orthopedic operations to piece together his body and is now walking. He also had 24 units of donated blood in the first critical hours after the accident pumped through his body. That's about twice the entire blood volume body he had pumped in.
But he's live. He's living.
So are you saying that he might wash windows again?
Let's hope. Doctors are saying that this recovery is virtually beyond belief. God bless him.
On Mythbusters, they did the awning thing and it worked. They dropped the human life-size weight dummy off the top of the building through like 5 awnings and it survived.
And then they had sex with it.
Well, maybe that's what happened. But again, as soon as he gets on his feet, he's heading out to Seattle to hang.
To have a little talk?
He's going to have a little talk with Mr. McHale.
You fell from that tree. Message. That's interesting. The tree.
That's aches and pains.
Hey, what's your dad's name?
Jack.
Jack, if you think you're good enough to drive, how about we head downtown? Where's the Space Needle? Interesting.
Well, it's right down there. We could go.
All right. Can you see it? How many stories is that Space Needle?
At least, I don't know, 25.
25. What would you say if I took 2 Space Needles and put them on top of each other?
Okay, I get it. I understand you fell way further than me.
Now get that beer and change the channel. All right, T?
That's it. I should say that he fell with his brother. And his brother...
His brother was at home at the time. He was just that dedicated.
His brother, very sad, was killed instantly. But he survived and is thriving and doing well. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Can you imagine that conversation on the way down? Mom's going to be pissed.
Tomorrow's news.
I can believe this.
Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
That's going to be great for the family, too. How are your son's doing? Well, other than the fact that they've combined, fell over 88 stories. Most brother, do you have a brother, Joel?
I have 2.
Most brother. Now, you guys, all 3 of you combined, how many stories do you think you fell?
About 130.
Okay. So we still have, so you're averaging right around the 140, around the 45 mark. Nice.
Yeah, once I survived, the other 2 are an omelet.
Good times. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Joel McHale's here from The Soup. He's got his clips. Best of 07. We'll hear those next.
Yes.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Tired of being crucified by the press.
I have a question.
From this E! News story.
TV talk.
Yeah, you're going to like me because I like to get beat up. Now, my first investment was my boobs.
Come on, ladies, get your balls.
From E's The Soup, Joel McHale with the best of 2007.
I get these, like, big dicks, and like, sometimes I try to squeeze them.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Joel, we got a lot to get to in about 7 minutes, my brother, so let's see what we can do.
Can I first just say I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv this weekend?
No.
Tonight and tomorrow, 2 shows on Friday, 3 shows on Saturday.
And they added one on Sunday, Teresa.
And I can get tickets at improv.com.
Thank you.
Now let's move forward.
Are you mad?
I'm cool. Give me some clips.
All right, here we go.
I need me some Tyra.
I'm going to, here you go. Let's take it away, Tyra.
And today, I'm honoring Black history by celebrating an event.
By straightening my hair and getting a nose job.
And the direction putting of my green career. Context. But more importantly, it impacted the face of beauty for women of color everywhere.
What did she do? She honored Black history by doing what?
Is the rest of that clip?
Impacting the face of color of everywhere. I talked right through it. It was 44 minutes.
We're sorry, Joel.
Wow. Wait, I don't think the clip worked.
All right, let me hear her again.
Here it is. And today, I'm honoring Black history by celebrating an event that not only changed my life and the direction of my career, but more importantly, it impacted the face of beauty for women of color everywhere.
I think
the
I speak
good news
Tyra.
Is you're
I
fired.
Think I know what happens
what
next.
What was it?
She's probably celebrating her appearance on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the first African-American model on the cover. Could that be it?
That is... exactly right.
I hate myself for knowing that.
And listen, if I have to have or hear another model talk about when I was growing up, none of the models looked like me. They had to look like somebody. I've heard this from all of you. The two things I hear from every model is, when I grew up, the models didn't look like me. Well, evidently you landed on your feet.
Yeah.
I mean, how did this work?
And you were ugly.
Oh, you were gangly?
And gangly. Nobody looked at you.
Right.
And Tyra talks about her hard times in Paris alone.
It was difficult. We all know what it's like to be 16 and a half and living in the south of France, having a difficult time.
I was trying to butter my baguette and the plastic knife broke.
When I was doing this one fashion show where I made 30 grand for the day, I didn't have a bank I could deposit it into. I didn't even know what kind of money it was.
I once, when I was going through some hard times in Milan at about 15, asked for goat cheese and was given brie.
No.
Yeah.
That's not even pasteurized, Adam.
Don't even talk about it. So I don't want to go there.
And I don't want to remind you, but the following day, you were doing a print job. It involved a close-up, and I think that cheese made you break out.
Yeah. Joel, just push forward. Play another clip!
Okay, I'm sorry. You like drag racing, white, right, Adam?
Yeah.
Well,
you said white, which is appropriate.
Well, John Force.
Yes, the whitest man on the planet.
He not only is a great drag racer, he knows a lot about entertainment news.
You know why Brad Pitt is with Angela Jolene? He was in love with that other girl on Friends. It got on the TV set. It's called Falling in Love on the Set. Mm-hmm. And in the but you think you're in love and you ain't until you get married. Brad and Jolene's already having problems.
John, you can't even say their names right. So they aren't our issue here.
And they keep adopting babies from foreign markets.
Jolene.
Jolene.
I love that guy.
Babies.
He's great.
He had a horrible accident.
He can go from... I've said this once, I've said it again. These guys don't get enough respect. They, for a living, drive a car that goes from 0 to 330 miles an hour in 4 seconds. The craziest, most exotic Porsche or Ferrari, if you rev the engine and dump the clutch, you'd get to 0 to 60 in about the same time they are going 325 miles an hour. I mean, you go 200 miles an hour in a car, freak out.
Right.
They're going 330 in 4 seconds.
That's as fast as Joel's going to get to the next clip.
Sorry, Joel.
You know what you guys don't have enough of?
Hmm.
Vagina power.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last clip on that list.
Oh, there it is.
I love this woman.
The wedding band is going to also be a noose around the nuts. I mean, a true nut bracket to lock them in and keep them in check so they can't give it to nobody else. So a lot of them have not only taken the wedding band off their finger, they done took the wedding band off the nuts. The nuts and the penis running wild and running free to do what they want to do. Oh, excuse me. What? Oh, my mother's here with us. Do you have a comment?
No, I ain't saying anything. I
didn't
say nothing.
Her mom is sitting right next to
me. It's nice to see Anthony Michael Hall working again.
You kicked me in the ball.
Where's science?
In the nuts.
In the nuts.
Give me the keys, I drive.
Speaking of vagina, people with them don't get this reference.
Oh, anyone who's Weird Science, great movie. Anthony Michael Hall.
He ain't even old enough to drive, Lisa.
He's in the bar. He's drunk. He's talking about his nuts with the old black guys.
Kelly LeBrock.
Come on, sister.
All right.
Pull out a 16 candles reference now.
Do yourself a favor, would you?
I know the 16 candles.
Oh, you with your Bay Area documentaries. I'm going to watch Little Miss Sunshine and Waitress. I'm going to see the picture box version of the movie. I'm going to get the Criterion set of Waitress. And
you know what you're doing?
How about you open
yourself up
to some real comedy?
You're waterboarding my heart. It might not be a permanent scar, but it hurts.
Bill Paxton is great in Weird Science.
He is great.
Oh, wait a minute. Brian has dug it up.
Oh,
and I'm telling you, play that.
You have Weird Science stuff ready to go?
No, he's plugging in 15 things. But seriously, if you play that chick talking about the ladies and then you hear Anthony Michael Hall.
Give me the key.
Pretty good.
Give me the key.
And that's on your iPod. Why?
Oh, come on.
It's a ringtone.
All right. Bald Brian, do you want to play that lady one more time? Play the vagina lady one more time, or is the board going to explode?
Very good.
A little
the
more.
The wind man is going to also be a noose around the nut.
Tell you, it's the best is that her mom is sitting right next to her.
Nice.
That whole show. All right.
We'll take a quick break.
I met Bill O'Reilly.
What? You met him?
No, I got a clip of him.
What's he doing?
Questioning a girl about her pictures.
Oh, really?
Is it gold?
We're running gold. Late. All right, I'll tell you what. Quick break. Back with the golden Bill O'Reilly clip and the golden, nay, Sterling Silver, Joel McHale next.
What?
Well, let's hurry. Joel McHale here from The Soup. He's going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight through Saturday. Two shows on
and Sunday now. They added
on
one.
Friday and Saturday, and now a show on SundayImprov.com is where you go. Joel, quickly, one more
Bill
clip
O'Reilly.
Of the year.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly, Miss New Jersey. She almost lost her crown for having racy photos. Here's the questioning.
My friends and I having fun, and that's all.
Are you?
Really
do you have clothes on?
Yes.
All right. So
no nudity.
There's no nudity in the
Facebook
pictures.
Does not allow nudity.
Are you drunk or anything?
No.
All right.
No,
it's just you and your friends cavorting?
Yes.
Is it two women together? Could it be in a provocative way?
Not at all.
Any sexual nature in the pictures?
No.
Okay. It's not a negligee situation or anything like that.
No.
It's just you. Is this a fantasy picture thing where you dressed up in a certain way? She could be dressed in some kind of dominatrix thing or something like that.
Okay. Arlene, let's flip over all the cards. And everyone goes, not drunk. You should say drunk if you're taking weird pictures with your friends. Otherwise, you're insane.
Yes.
Hey, you'd be insane not to watch The Soup Friday nights on E! Or go out to the Irvine Improv tonight. All the way
bless
through
you.
Sunday. And
every
see
damn night.
Our good friend, Joel McHale. I want to thank Chris Fowler. College Game Day. Going to be covering LSU versus Ohio State Monday on ESPN. And, of course, our own Joel McHale. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. A guy could touch...